All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. All right.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And here until 5 a.m., I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will follow this show at 5 with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive on your Tuesday. And it's that means it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a bit. And that is one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Get your 2 for Tuesday requests in now, 312-981-7200. Coming up on the show, it is the 30th anniversary of Cops. Which is amazing that that show's been on for 30 years. It's unbelievable. It's one of the classic reality shows of all time. So we're going to jump into your favorite reality shows of all time, and we'll go all the way back to when reality shows first started, which would have been in the early 80s, actually. PBS had This American Family, where they basically followed a family around with some cameras, and that was the very first sort of reality show. And they obviously took off in the late 90s and really took off. At that point. But Cops, 30th anniversary, we have some facts about Cops, the show, and we're going to talk about that. There's a baby sloth that is going to get its name through the internet, and then we wanted to talk about your pets' names and how did you pick them. We've talked about animals yesterday. We talked about some of the best animal performances in movies and TV. You know what I forgot to mention? We were talking about all the animal performances. I forgot to mention the dog in The Road Warrior, and I can't believe I didn't mention the dog in The Road Warrior. I'm so disgusted with myself. But how did you name your pets, and what are your name's pets? What are the weirdest or the funniest names ever? And we are also going to talk about weird-flavored food. You know, Lay's has those new chip flavors that are coming out. Heinz has those new mayo mixes coming out. But there are some really insanely weird flavored food around the world, and I've got a whole bunch of examples of that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe what's the weirdest food you've ever tasted? We'll get into that later on as well. Blackhawks, man, on a tear. We will play back the Blackhawks Express. This is doable. Maybe it's doable for a postseason. They keep playing like they played last night and Saturday night. It's doable. So they're only 5 points back now. This is crazy. It's crazy. Ben Anderson's producing. Ben, you were here for the game?
I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't?
No, not tonight.
Oh, okay.
But I was watching.
Oh, man. I mean, crazy.
I'm just so, you know, Strome came on strong right after the trade. But last night, wow, Perlini.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I know. I almost had a hat trick.
He did.
Oh, he did have a hat trick. That's right. He did, didn't he?
In the last 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. I missed that. I must have missed that. Because when I was laying in bed kind of listening to the game, and then I got up to, you know, take a shower and stuff, so I guess I missed that. Because they won 7-1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was 6-1 they were 6-1 for quite a while because they scored nine goals. They scored four yeah. goals in a row. So we got a hat trick against his old team.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. Fantastic. I mean, literally, the final seconds of the game.
Was it an empty netter?
You know what? I had it on in the background, yeah. So I didn't see if it was the empty netter. It didn't sound like it.
It didn't seem like it, because if you're down five goals, you know, are you going to pull your goalie?
With, yeah. I mean, and who are you going to pull at that point?
They had nobody. I mean, you know, God,
they pulled one of the hottest goalies in the league right now.
In the second period, yeah. They yanked him. Man, okay. Well, anyway, so the Hawks. When did they play again? They play Thursday, right? And they're playing the Leafs. They're Thursday in Toronto.
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday in tomorrow. In Toronto, 6 o'clock, I believe, is the puck drop right here, and every game counts, man. And, like, literally, yeah, every game counts, and it's kind of exciting. You know, Vic is in the newsroom, and so, but it's Ben is producing. Hello, Ben, how are you? Thanks for coming in. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn.
Hi,
Vic.
Hey.
So I was telling you, you know, because we were talking a little bit before the show. I came in to say hi to you in the newsroom, and before the show, you were like, I was like, how about them Hawks? And we were like, yeah, could this really, could something really happen? And I was telling you that it's really kind of exciting that so late in the season, you know, that we have to watch these games because they have to win them. You know what I mean? Like, these are must-win games. And that's pretty exciting. That's pretty tense.
It makes for a great season, you know?
Yeah.
This is kind of the way you want it.
It's been a really rocky season. You know what I mean? There was that they started out terribly. Then they went through a stretch, like a really amazing stretch, and then they kind of fell out. You know, there were a lot of peaks and valleys. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But this is exciting stuff. And if they keep playing the way they played last night and on Saturday, we might see a postseason here.
Yeah, if they keep that up, because they were on it last night.
Oh, my God. I mean, just absolutely, absolutely nuts. So we'll play back that very exciting Blackhawks Express, too. So that's coming up. All that stuff is coming up on the show. And, of course, our phone number is 312-981-7200. Anytime you want to jump in here get in on the conversation by texting or calling. So text or call 312-981-7200. So, Vic, how you doing? You good?
Oh, yeah, doing great.
All right, cool. And did you get to see any of the game?
Yeah, I got here enough for I watched the full third period.
Ah, there you go.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Man. It was, yeah. Andre Darlis was in here. We were watching it. It was fun.
Very cool. You know? All right. So, Vic is in the newsroom. Ben is your producer this morning. I'm your idiot host. And this is the overnight show. So it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And for your two for Tuesday requests, one artist, two songs. Here be a two for Tuesday. And get them in now with your requests at 312-981-7200. Okay. Vic, you ever watch Cops?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm on to a new one now called Live PD.
Okay.
You ever go down that rabbit hole? That's one of those ones I could just sit and watch for hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cops, bad boys, remember?
30 years old.
Can't believe that.
I mean, oh, by the way, you know whose birthday it is? Speaking of anniversaries, you know Rich Coe, Sven Gulli, our good friend Sven Gulli, the one, the only?
Oh, yeah.
Birthday today.
Today, Tuesday, right?
Yes. Happy birthday, Sven. Happy birthday, Rich Coe.
And you did
his anniversary is this year, 40 years playing Sven Gulli.
Wow.
40 years. We're going to get Rich on.
Sorry it didn't work out.
We're going to... Exactly.
Wow.
Sorry it didn't work out. But we're going to get Rich on the show, you know, to celebrate his anniversary for sure at some point. I believe it's in May, the actual anniversary of the first time he played Son of Sven Gulli. I think that was in May. But it's Rich's birthday today. Rich Coe's the great Rich Coe's, one of my favorite people on the planet. And every Saturday night, I watch his show. I mean, every Saturday night. I never miss it. And I don't care what the movie is. I really don't. I couldn't care less what the movie is. Although I will say this, in a couple of weeks, Rich is showing House of Wax. Vincent Price. And he's never shown it. He's never shown House of Wax before. And I can't wait to see what he does with it. Like, you know, because the bits that they do in between and the facts that he gives you. And it's another thing, you know, you really learn about the movies when you watch Rich's show, because he tells you all about the cast members and what other shows and what other movies that they did, and gives you behind the scenes stuff. And obviously his songs are hilarious with Doug. And it's just the best. Sven Gulli's the best. And he's awesome, celebrating an amazing 40 years as Sven Gulli. And happy birthday to our friend Rich Coe. So, yeah, Cops. Now, that is one of the first sort of like really took off shows on Fox. And we have a whole bunch of facts here about Cops on its 30th anniversary, if you can believe its 30th anniversary. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll give you those facts about Cops. Then we're going to jump into reality shows. What are your favorite ones? Which ones do you love? Which ones are you still addicted to? Which ones did you used to like? Favorite reality shows of all time in honor of Cops' 30th anniversary. And we can all admit it. Some of them are guilty pleasures. I'll be the first to admit that I've watched a lot of crappy reality shows. I've watched a lot of crappy TV in general. That seems to be an MO of mine. But we want to hear from you guys. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I'll give you a bunch of facts about the 30th anniversary of Cops, behind-the-scenes stuff, and then it's reality shows that we're going to talk about. So get your talks and your texts in here at 312-981-7200.
Holding you again could only do me good. How I wish I could, but you're so far away.
That's a pretty great way to kick off Two for Tuesday with Carole King, because she's one of the greatest songwriters of all time. It's amazing if you, not just the songs that she recorded, but songs that she wrote for other artists. If you look at the list of songs that Carole King wrote, it's astonishing. It really is. It's Two for Tuesday. You made Two for Tuesday. Who requested the Carole King, Ben?
That came from the 301 area code.
Okay, 301. We get to hear another Carole King.
Good. I agree. Good choice.
Oh,
good starter.
Great choice. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and your Two for Tuesday requests. One artist, two songs.
Here.
312-981-7200. And also, if you want to jump in, we're talking about reality shows because it's the 30th anniversary of Cops. And let's get some calls or some texts about what your favorite reality shows are, ones that you were addicted to or are addicted to, guilty pleasures, any of that stuff, reality shows. 312-981-7200. So here are some facts about Cops. To get an idea of how long producer John Langley has been assigning camera crews to film on location with the men and women of law enforcement, think about this. When Cops premiered on Fox on March 11th, 1989, The Simpsons were still 8 months away from debuting, and Ronald Reagan had only been out of the White House for less than 2 months. In the 30 years since, Cops has barely skipped a beat. When Fox decided to cancel the show in 2013, Spike picked it up. In 2018, Spike became the Paramount Network, which continues to air new episodes every Saturday. And if you can't get enough foot chases, domestic incidents, or eye-darting suspects, check out the facts with this addictive reality series. So John Langley is your producer of this of Cops, celebrating its 30th anniversary. And John Langley came up with the idea for the series during a cocaine bust. Cops co-creator John Langley was in charge of a crew covering a real-life drug raid for a 1983 documentary called Cocaine Blues when inspiration struck. He thought it would be a good idea to have a no-frills chronicle of everyday experiences of police officers. While the concept, then titled Street Beat, was simple, no one shared Langley's enthusiasm. He was repeatedly told no show without a narrator, music, or a plot could succeed. Well, you see, that's where they were wrong. how about this? Here's your next fact. A writer's strike got it on the air. Langley had been pushing the idea for Cops for most of the 80s when he met with producers at Fox, the new quote-unquote fourth network, in 1988. While executives were still cool to the premise, the 1988 Writers Guild of America strike made Langley's lack of scripted elements appealing. Suddenly, a show that had no actors, host, script, or writers sounded pretty good, Langley said in 2007. Fox didn't completely abandon the notion of star power, though. Burt Lancaster voiced a brief introduction for the pilot episode. What? What? Wow. I did not know that.
I had no idea that was a thing. That totally could have changed.
It was just for the pilot. But Burt Lancaster. I wonder how they got Burt Lancaster. How do you get Burt Lancaster to do a voiceover for a show called Cops? A reality show called Cops. I would love to have been in that meeting, how they got Burt Lancaster. Oh, boy. The Bad Boys theme song came first. Bad Boys might be one of the most recognizable television theme songs of all time, but the group behind it wasn't thinking about Langley or his show when they recorded it. Reggae musicians Inner Circle put the track on their 1987 album, which was heard by a Cops crew member who then played it for Langley. The rights were sold for $2,500. Wow. While the show originally used the full version of the song for its pilot, it's been whittled down to just chorus for reruns. They got the rights for $2,500. Oh, man. Each episode has a three-act structure. Another fact about Cops on its 30th anniversary. While discussing the show's format in 2007, Langley offered that each episode typically begins with an action sequence, which is a car or a foot chase, subduing an uncooperative suspect, a slow things down sequence, which is a rational conversation, and finally a moral message of some sort with a cop lecturing someone to stay off drugs. They usually follow the cops home. Langley's original notion was to document both a police officer's working shift and his or her domestic life. In the 1989 pilot, a captain in Florida's Broward County Police Department was seen arguing with his wife after a long shift. Critic Tom Ensign called it the only phony aspect of the show. It was almost dropped immediately. It was dropped almost immediately. Following the cops home. You know, they've never filmed Cops here in Chicago.
Not in downtown. They've done unincorporated area episodes, like one-offs here and there. Mm. Like there was one in Rolling Meadows, I remember.
In the city, because the police department's not going to let him.
No,
Chicago Police Department's not going to let him. You know, do that here in the city. Making Cops has taught Langley to be less cynical about human nature. In a 2010 interview with Forbes, Langley was asked what was the most surprising thing Making Cops that has taught him about human behavior. He said, "The more people are good than bad, and that criminal behavior is aberrant behavior, and it isn't the norm. I think I give humanity far more credit, having witnessed it at its worst. Rather than make me a cynic, it's made me realize that a small percentage of the population actually commits crimes." The suspects need to give their permission to be on the show. This is always the thing that fascinates me about a lot of these shows, is that, you know, these people are at their worst, you know, like drunk guy, shirtless, screaming at his girlfriend out on the lawn, and he signed a release. You know what I mean? That's just, every time I watch those shows, I'm like, this guy signed a release? Really? Contrary to popular belief, being arrested doesn't absolve anyone his or her right to not be filmed for a national television show. Producers on Cops have to get releases signed by arrestees and suspects. If they're already handcuffed, the crew can follow them to jail, get them to sign there. Langley has said that proper timing is key when it comes to getting their permission. During a fight is a problem, and it's estimated that 95% of everyone filmed signs waivers to appear. According to Langley, they simply want to be on television. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But every time I watch it, you know, I'm like, how, why would you? You ever watch Cheaters? We'll get to Cheaters a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Cheaters is another one. Why in God's name would you sign a release to be on that show? I don't. People just want to be on TV. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter if you're drunk and you're being arrested. You know, or you stole something, you committed a crime, or you cheated on your wife and she confronts you and punches you in the face, and yet you go, yeah, sure, I'll be on that show. I'd love to be on that show. I once saw an episode of Cheaters where they pixeled out a dog's face.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. They pixeled a dog's face. So I don't know, maybe the owner of the dog said, I don't want my dog on TV. Or something.
The
dog said, I'm not signing. Give me my paw back. I will not be signing this release. But, yeah, so that, I mean, I still don't get it. I mean, the show's been on for 30 years, and it's insane to me that 95% of everyone signs those waivers. Some police departments see Cops as a recruiting tool. Citing their belief that police work is not meant to be an entertainment product, Chicago is among a handful of cities that have long refused to let cops shoot in their territory. But for the dozens of other departments that have, the motivation is often to show, to use the show as a recruiting tool for fellow officers. If a cop does something potentially embarrassing, precincts always, almost always retain the right to screen footage before it's aired. There you go. Improving some of the performances. All right, more facts about cops coming up here, and we're going to jump into other reality shows. What's your favorite? What are the ones that you're addicted to that you love now? And your guilty pleasure reality shows. That's what we're going to be chatting about. And I can't believe the cops is 30 years old. All right, we'll break. The news is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. You mean two for Tuesday? And that's one artist, two songs. Get your requests in now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to jump into the world of reality shows and some of the best or some of the weirdest. Which ones did you love? Which ones do you love? We want to talk a little bit about that. And this is the 30th anniversary of Cops, which is one of the classic reality shows of all time. And we've got some behind the scenes facts about Cops that we're sharing right now. And then we want to talk reality shows in general. I've got some favorites and from the past and present. And I've got some a list here of some weird ones that I don't remember. There's a few on here that I just don't remember. So as part of the reality show genre. So reality shows is the topic. What are yours? 312-981-7200. All right, let's get back to some of these facts about Cops. The crew has had to interfere occasionally on Cops. The official Cops crew policy is that camera and microphone operators are only there to observe. They're not allowed to interfere with anything going on. The exception, Langley says, is if an officer's life is in danger. In one instance, a suspect was about to secure an officer's weapon when the sound man put down his gear and jumped in. Another show staffer administered CPR to a woman in need. He was a paramedic. The officer didn't know the technique. You know, it's got to be crazy. Actually, it's got to be kind of crazy to work on that show. Like, if you're just like a crew member, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, this is real. You know, this is real life. It's a real criminal and it's a real arrest that's happening. How about this? Unused footage gets trashed. Langley's crew can shoot 400 hours of footage and get a single 22-minute episode of Cops. While he originally tried archiving everything he didn't use, the series has been around for so long that multiple storage formats have come and gone, rendering their continued existence impractical and too expensive to convert. So unused footage is either taped over or thrown out. How about this? They did a very, quote-unquote, very special episode. You know those very special episodes. Especially when on sitcoms, when they do a very special sit, like in Home Improvement, when one of his kids had a bag of pot. That was a very special episode of Home Improvement. So they did a very special episode of Cops. Cops rarely breaks from its formula of depicting police officers on patrol, planning raids, or executing sting operations. But a crew set up in Boynton Beach, Florida, got a different perspective on things when they discovered that an undercover officer named Witty Jean had taped an admission from a woman looking for a hitman to kill her husband. When police set up a, quote, crime scene for the suspect, Dahlia DiPolito came to view. Cops filmed her reaction. According to ABC News, DiPolito was tried and convicted of solicitation to commit first-degree murder in 2011, but the verdict was thrown out due to improper jury selection. DiPolito says she did not want her husband dead and maintains she and her friends faked the criminal plan in order to post it on YouTube and garner fame. Most recently, in the summer of 2008, she petitioned the court for a fourth time. So, Cops is a $500 million business. Crime does indeed pay. In 2005, Broadcasting and Cable estimated that Cops had generated $500 million in 17 seasons with syndication, licensing, DVD sales, reaping huge benefits for the modestly budgeted series. $500 million. Here's your a couple more facts here about cops. No, they don't pay the cops. Langley, who has been critical of much of the reality television that followed in his wake, has always had a firm no compensation policy for anyone featured on the show, suspect or police officer. We don't pay people to be themselves, he told Entertainment Weekly in 2011. If you pay them, you're affecting their behavior. And then finally, the last fact, and this is a true one. 30 years ago, it ushered in the concept of reality television, though Langley prefers to think of Cops as a documentary series. He's fine taking credit for being a pioneer in the reality television craze, even if he's not a fan of many of the shows that followed in Cops' wake. If I'm the father or godfather of reality TV, I don't want to take responsibility for all the bastards that followed, Langley told Forbes. I think some shows in the reality genre are great, and some are frankly deplorable. When pushing an example of the latter, Langley cited Steven Seagal, Lawman. These celebrities sucking focus I find deplorable. Seagal, for example, running around being a cop on some show on cable. Give me a break. You ever see Steven Seagal, Lawman?
I have.
It's fantastic.
It's
I mean, it's terrible. It's completely awful, but it's fantastic in that awful way. So those are some facts about Cops on its 30th anniversary. What are some of your favorite reality shows? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It says reality shows here. I'm reading from an article here. Reality shows are our most popular guilty pleasure. Since 1983's An American Family Revisited, which later inspired MTV's Real World, viewers have been enamored with watching others live their lives in some variation of their lives. Just last TV season, The Bachelor, The Voice, and Survivor ranked in the top 20 of most watched shows. But while reality TV is often criticized for dumbing down content, there's a lot to be gained from watching the ongoing tales of other people's lives. Whether it's watching a classic rags-to-riches story, being inspired by incredible weight loss journeys, or following someone chasing after their dreams, getting a radical makeover, or just living their day-to-day drama-filled lives. These shows allow viewers to escape into someone else's shoes, even if it's just for a brief time. While some shows can be positive influences, we admit that that isn't always the case. But even controversial moments like when Snooki got punched when she confronted a man who stole the Jersey Shore group's drinks, or when New York spit on pumpkin on Flavor of Love. my God. I'm sorry. That was a memory that completely had left my brain. And now...
Nick, when you started in radio, did you ever think you would be saying phrases like that?
Well, I don't know, man. Flavor of Love was just... I don't even know what to say about that. Flavor of Love was absolute trash, but I watched every single episode of it. And I remember New York spitting on pumpkin, and I don't know. I don't know how many seasons they did of Flavor of Love. I think they did at least 4 seasons of Flavor of Love. I just remember in the first episode of like season 3 or season 4, one of the women that Flava Flav had to choose from was drunk, and she defecated on the stairs. This is in the first episode of the season. It's just it was just like, what? And then see, you had Flavor of Love, and then the New York, I Love New York, which was the spinoff with New York. And then they did the Surreal World, which was when they put a whole bunch of has-been celebrities, you know, in a house. And one of the seasons featured Flava Flav and Brigitte Nielsen. And then they had a reality show together. I can't remember what that was called, but it was Flava Flav and Brigitte Nielsen. And this was at the time when VH1 was loaded with these shows. Like VH1, I mean, that was like... That was pretty much what they showed. They showed these really exploitive, really stupid, like the Bret Michaels Hookers on Wheels or whatever the hell that show was.
Were you thinking of Strange Love?
Strange Love. That's it. Yeah. That's the one with Brigitte Nielsen and Flava Flav. And then the Bret Michaels. You know, he had a whatever the hell the name of his show was, where you know he had to choose from a bunch of hussies. And I mean, just ridiculous. And that was VH1. That was all that VH1 showed. That, and they showed a lot of the Dr. Drew reality shows about rehab and stuff. They had Celebrity Rehab. That was kind of for a time. That's all VH1 was showing. It was all of those really exploitive, really trashy reality shows, which I've watched. I watched all of them. I fully admit I watched all of them. And Behind the Music. That was what VH1 was. So I don't know. Here's Steve in Valpo on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, what's going on, Nick? Yeah. One of the first cops I ever saw, they were down in Florida, of course, and they were chasing this guy, and they were chasing him through all these backyards and everything. They finally cornered him in this one yard, and they had, you know, like the wooden stockade fence around there, and they're knocking big sections of the fence over, and the police dogs came in and grabbed this guy. I think that they had at least two dogs on him.
Yeah.
And he I don't know what this guy was on, but he picked this one German Shepherd up. They weren't these Malinois. It was a full-blown German Shepherd.
Yeah.
He was like 90, 100 pounds. He picked his dog up by the neck and punched him in the nose, you know?
Oh, my God.
I thought, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, that was an early episode that you're talking about?
The first time I ever saw it. They put both dogs on this guy, and they literally ripped off all his clothes. And they showed him later on in the hospital. You know, he was cuffed, and he was laying on a gurney, you know, in the emergency room. And this guy was just full of dog bites, man. He was bleeding all over the place.
Oh, man.
And I thought, man, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. And that's right out of the gate. That's an early episode right there, man.
Right.
Unbelievable. That's great, man.
So after that, I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this.
I'm going to watch this show. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Steve, thanks, buddy. Yeah, you don't often see a German Shepherd get punched in the face on TV. That doesn't happen very often. On Cops, though. Yeah. All right, so we have a whole bunch of reality shows here, some of which I don't remember. Like, this one is, it's called The Four. And it's a latest singing competition to join the ranks. It has a secret weapon, Diddy and DJ Khaled. Two artists who are known for stealing the spotlight and making anything exciting. So I've heard of this show, but I've never seen it. It's on Fox, and I've never seen it. Has anybody seen The Four? I've seen commercials for it, but there's so many. I don't watch. I used to watch American Idol. I never watched The Voice. I know that The Voice is one of the most popular reality competition shows on TV. There's no question about it, obviously. But I just don't, I never watch it, and I don't watch American Idol now. I used to. I watched American Idol for many years straight, but I don't watch it now, and I never watched an episode of The Four, but I do remember seeing commercials for it. So that's one that I've never seen. We also have here Say Yes to the Dress. My ex-wife loved that show. Loved it. She watched it all the time. Shopping for a wedding dress can be a monumental yet stressful ordeal. Luckily, Say Yes to the Dress gives a lucky few in finding the perfect dress their special day. The series takes place in New York City's Kleinfeld Bridal and follows soon-to-be brides and their journey choosing their dream wedding dress. So I've seen that show a couple of times. I've seen that show a couple of times. It was my ex-wife watched it all the time. I didn't really. I would come in and watch a little bit of it here and there, but I never really got it. And here's one that I don't understand. And it's one of the most popular ones on TV. I don't get Dancing with the Stars. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I know that Mary Vandeveld, has watched every single episode of this show because she dances. And, you know. And she enjoys watching it from that point of view. But I don't understand. I just don't understand the fascination with it. I don't understand why the ratings are through the roof. I've tried watching it. And I watched it the last season for a while because Nikki Glaser was on it. And Nikki Glaser is one of my favorite stand-up comedians alive. And she's a babe. And I really like her. I think she's great. She got booted after the first week, so I stopped watching. She got booted after the first week, and like I knew as soon as they put a mic in front of her face, She started talking about sex, and this is a family show. I mean, you know, Dancing with the Stars, maybe that, I mean, the appeal, I guess, one of the things that, people find appealing about Dancing with the Stars is that anybody can watch it. Like, you can sit down, your whole family can watch it, except when Nikki Glaser is on it. And I can't remember what she said, but she started talking about having sex and stuff. And, you know, and this is like, you know, this is 7 p.m. primetime ABC family show. And she could not dance. Nikki Glaser could not dance. But that was the only reason I watched it when you know, because whenever they announce the stars or the cast members for Dancing with the Stars, many of them of which aren't stars, I you know, we talk about it on the show, obviously, because it's pop culture related, and that's what we talk about on the show. It's in the zeitgeist. So, yeah. But when I saw that Nikki Glaser was going to be on, I'm like, now, damn it, I have to watch it. Now I have to watch it. And luckily, I only had to watch it for 2 weeks because she got booted.
I'm amazed you didn't watch an earlier season.
I tried.
You didn't watch David Ross?
I couldn't. Well, no. I mean, okay. I did watch that. I only watched his performances. You know how that you can watch it on YouTube like the next day or whatever.
Yeah, and they have everybody.
I watched Rossi's performance. I watched Grandpa's performances. Okay. I'm going to say, obviously. Okay, yes. But I never, like any of those episodes, I didn't watch the whole episode. I didn't watch the season. I would just watch Rossi perform. But yeah, no, of course, obviously that's going to be, I'm going to tune in for that. You know what I mean? So.
I don't get it. My mom is a huge fan.
People love the show.
Miss it.
No, people love that show, man. I mean, it's really a popular show. Obviously, the ratings are through the roof, and people who watch it really, really love it. I mean, Mary, when it's on, when the season is on, Mary can talk about it. Like, she can go into massive details on who was good, who wasn't, what was good about the show. She loves that show. And I've tried, man. I have. And I forced myself to watch it for, I think it was 3 weeks, because there's two performances and then you get booted. So I watched three episodes of last season just because of Nikki Glaser, and then she got booted and I stopped watching it. So, all right, everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. On this, the 30th anniversary of Cops, we're talking about your favorite reality shows. Which ones were your guilty pleasures? Which ones do you watch now? Which ones did you love? And there's so many of them to choose from. And if we mention one that you watch and you want to talk about, jump in anytime. Talk or text 312-981-7200. We'll jump back into the conversation after we break.
My truck's out on the freeway, my radiator's busted. No way to reach the mountains, I'm stranded in the dust. Spinning car and be good luck, try to beat the game. Beat this game. Yeah, it seems like bad luck, baby.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It's 2 for Tuesday. You're here 2 for Tuesday. Who requested this and what is it?
That was from Rasko, and that was John Mayall and the Blues Breakers playing Spinning Coin.
Ah, okay. All right. More of that coming up here on the show. And you get your requests in now. It's one artist, two songs, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 30th anniversary of Cops is this year. And so we're talking about reality shows. What are some of your favorites? Which ones do you watch? Which ones were you obsessed with? And some of them are guilty pleasures, like all that crap on VH1 that I used to watch. Yeah, so 312-981-7200. Here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hi, good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of reality shows, but there were just a couple that were kind of memorable in my mind, at least. One was a short-lived program, I think, in the early 2000s called O-Town, or The Making of a Band. It was on ABC.
Yep.
You recall that one?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a very popular one. O-Town was...
Yeah, it was kind of scandalous, because... The guy who funded it all, the venture capitalist guy who kind of backed it up, he ended up getting arrested. So it was kind of salacious.
Yeah.
But there was one reality show that I kind of thought was a predecessor to Cops, which was, do you remember a documentary on PBS called An American Family?
Right.
Yeah, the Loud family.
Right. At the beginning of the conversation, we mentioned that one. That was from 1983, and it was that is where they trace it back. That's where they they really trace it back to that. They did two of them. They did one. They did two versions of it. And I mean, I think one of them was like in the late 70s, and the other one was in like in the early 80s. And that was the precursor to all of this stuff, as you said. And it was on PBS, and that was the one that really started the whole thing. That it was really unusual. Never saw anything like that before. And because it was on PBS, I guess it had a little more class. But that's where, Rich, thanks for the call, by the way. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about reality shows. What are your favorites? What are your guilty pleasures? Which ones do you watch? Ben, you ever see the movie Real Life? Albert Brooks?
I want to say it's been a while.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing, I don't remember much about it, though.
It's a brilliant movie. It is, well, it's Albert Brooks. That goes without saying. It's brilliant, and it's funny, and it's genius, because it's Albert Brooks, who is one of the most talented and funniest, smartest men who's ever lived. I mean, he's truly one of my heroes, Albert Brooks. Absolutely. Absolutely. But so, he made a movie, this movie called Real Life, and it was like a takeoff on this American Family show, this reality thing that was on PBS. He plays a filmmaker named Albert Brooks, who decides that he's going to follow a family around with cameras. And so it goes terribly wrong because, you know, Albert Brooks, you know, he realizes just how boring it is to just follow a family around day to day. So he wants to make things happen. So he's trying to manipulate things so that the movie is more exciting and not just about people sitting around, families having little arguments or eating. And so he becomes insane. He goes, he actually loses his mind. And by the end of the movie, he's burning the house down in order to get a good story, in order to get a good movie. And it was right on the money, man. It was exactly, you know, again, like Albert Brooks, genius and funny and ahead of its time. And it really satirized the topic beautifully. You know, him manipulating life so it's not real anymore, just so he can have an exciting movie or an exciting show. So, and it's also really, really funny. Really, really funny. All right, we got some texts coming in. If you want to jump in with a call or a text, we're talking reality shows. What are your favorites? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Hey, Nick, Bonnie from Kenosha here. I love any prison show, like Locked Up or even Love After Lock Up. And I also loved Project Runway. Yeah, Project Runway is a good show. Project One, right? That was a good show. I haven't watched it in a long time, but that was a great show. 224 area code says Bridezilla's is a good show. Oh man, okay. Russ says my wife and I watch a new show called Live PD. I can't believe how dumb the criminals are. You guys are talking Cops from 847 area code. My acquaintance was on Cops on an episode from Las Vegas. If you YouTube Cops Las Vegas Takedown, you'll see him. He's a white male being taken down by an officer. So you're telling us that you're advertising the fact that your acquaintance is one of the guys that gets taken down on Cops. Oh, man. All right. See, 847 area code says, I love Pawn Stars and American Pickers. I've been to their store in Iowa. I don't know, because there's which is the one with the pawn shop that has the old man and his son?
That's Pawn Stars.
Okay, that's the one my dad loves. My dad loves that one. I know there's another pawn shop show too, but my dad really, really digs the Pawn Stars. That's the one that out of the pawn shows that he digs. So, all right, let's see. Let's take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then more reality show discussions. We got a whole bunch here to talk about. I have a few that I haven't even mentioned yet that we got to get to. And our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And the news is up next. Welcome back. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive here on WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're talking about reality shows. And again, that was Rasko requesting John Mayall and the Blues Breakers for Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in, Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So it's the 30th anniversary of Cops, so we thought we'd jump into the world of reality TV shows. And what are the ones that you watch? What are the ones that you used to watch or you're obsessed with or you're guilty pleasured? It's the world of reality TV on this 30th anniversary, which is so weird. Cops is 30 years old. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here's Bill on WGN. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
You being a music fanatic, and I can't believe that you don't remember or has been talked about where the gentleman was getting band members back together, and it was either called Reunited or Getting the Band Back Together.
It was on VH1. It was called Bands Reunited, and I watched every episode of it.
Wasn't it awesome?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And the thing about it was that not all the bands got back together. Not every episode was a success, because some of the bands were like,
right,
no, I don't want to get back together with these guys.
Right.
And they would perform one night.
But when he finally did talk some of them into doing it, it was neat how he said, oh, come on, you know, people want to see it. And then they would play it. And I really enjoyed it, because it was good to hear these people that you haven't heard for so many years.
Yeah. No, that was a great show. That was a great show. And then they got to perform for one night in front of an audience, and then VH1 would broadcast it. And it was a real good show, because you got to, you know, these are bands that were hot. Most of them were like hot in the 80s or early 90s. And so they reunited. I can't remember which ones, how many bands they reunited. But I know Berlin was one of them.
Scandal was one of them, wasn't it?
Maybe Scandal, but I know Berlin was one for sure.
And
there were more. There were a lot more. They were all, and that was a terrific show. I thought that was great. It was because it tapped into, not only was it sort of a fun reality show, not only was it cool to see these kind of acts that you haven't seen in a while, but it also tapped into some nostalgia, you know, for these bands that you haven't seen in a long time. So
right,
yeah.
And the other one that with all those people that get together in the house, that was on VH1 when it first started out. What's the name of that?
Well, they had Surreal World, where they put a whole bunch of celebrities in a house and had them live there.
No, this was like they rented out a house like in L.A. or whatever, and they had a bunch of kids.
Oh.
Because Puck.
Oh, wait, that's the Real World.
The Real World.
Yeah, that's the classic. That's Real World. That's MTV. That wasn't VH1. That was MTV.
Oh, yeah. The one with Puck and with that, I became enrolled in that because Puck was a guy you just hated.
Yeah. That was San Francisco. That was the second season of the show. That was San Francisco.
What did you think of Puck?
I loved Puck. I thought he was great.
Oh, God.
I thought he was great. All right, Bill, thanks, man.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the Real World. I mean, that's the classic. And I'm looking at this. I have a list here in front of me where they rank them. And Real World is ranked at number one, the best reality show of all time. I remember what a big deal it was when the Real World started. You know, because the first cast was obviously in New York. That was 90. I want to say it was like 92. Back in like 92 was the first Real World, and I watched it religiously. I watched every season religiously until Vegas, and then at Vegas I just stopped because the Vegas cast was just just a bunch of idiots screwing. That's all it was, and that's what the show kind of turned into. I did watch, when they went back to Chicago, I watched a little bit of it just simply because it was in Chicago. But I stopped at Vegas was the cast where I went, okay, I, you know. But I think my favorite, I don't know, you know, God, Seattle was good. Seattle was really good. Back to New York with The Miz, that was a good one too. But I think San Francisco might be the best season of the Real World of all time. I think San Francisco is the best. Man, but Seattle was good. And Chicago was good too, because they were here in a very dramatic a couple of episodes, because they were here filming in Chicago when 9/11 happened, and it was the first time they ever allowed a TV or any kind of contact to the outside world. Because if you're on the Real World, you have no contact with the outside world. You know, there's no internet. There's none. You know, there's no TV. You're basically isolated from what's happening in the real world, unless obviously if you go out and you're exposed to like the real world. But because 9/11 happened while they were taping here in Chicago, they did allow, because of, you know, the gravity of the situation, they did allow a TV and to see the what was happening in New York. So now here's one. Extreme Makeover Home Edition. This was the show that, like, everybody cried every episode. Every episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition. They say you can throw Extreme Makeover Home Edition in the same category as The Biggest Loser. It's well-meaning but ultimately harmful. The show's premise was to provide a family facing severe hardships with a brand new home. Catered to their every need. It sounds good, right? Unfortunately, it's been criticized for its opportunistic approach to identifying families in need, as well as financial hardship families faced with after receiving their new homes. But after 10 years, it was a guaranteed, after 10 seasons, it was a guaranteed tearjerker. That was the one where they would tug at your heartstrings, you know, like big time. And, you know, and then when they would unveil the house, everybody would cry. They had the bus in front of the house. And what was it? The Ty Pennington? Was that his name? The guy who never wore a shirt? Yeah, he was the host. And they had the different designers come in and all that stuff. I used to watch that show with my ex-wife on Sunday. Both of us would end up in tears at every episode. We would just be at the end of the show. We'd be like... But then I found out, like, that, you know, like, after... You know, everybody leaves, they're stuck with more bills. Like, the families are stuck with more bills, and it turns out to not be the greatest thing in the world. There were a lot of lawsuits and stuff, I think, following some of these makeovers. But they manipulated it really well on TV, I can tell you that much, because it was just like a tearjerker. There was always a sick kid, you know what I mean? Always. And then, like, they send him to Disneyland or Disney World or whatever, whichever one they went to. And then they show them at Disney World having a great time, and then they come home and they move the bus, and then there's a brand new house, and everybody falls under the street and starts crying. And then they go through the house and show all the beautiful things that are in the house that are going to help the sick kid. You just like, how can you not be affected by that manipulation? And I watched it every week. We watched it every week. Let's see. Here is John in Park Forest on WGN. Hi, John.
Yes, about 10 years ago, it only lasted one season. There was a show called The Starlet, where they took a bunch of young actresses, and they were, you know, the big prize was you get an agent and you get a house in Los Angeles for a year so you could get your acting career started. And, like, the celebrity judge was Faye Dunaway, and her big catchphrase was, "Don't call us, we'll call you."
Oh, no. I have a vague, vague memory of that, John, but I never watched it.
I had a friend who was on it.
Oh, is that right?
And she made it to the final three.
Wow.
And she was, you know, the way on the original Big Brother, how, like, the ugly, naked, gay guy was, like, painted as the villain.
Yeah.
They made her the villain. She was, like, edited to be the girl that everyone hated.
Yeah.
She was perky and sweet and unaffected, and she was like Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
And all the girls were very dramatic and intense, and she wasn't. And so they all hated her.
And so they made her be the villain, which of course is
her be the villain.
Yeah.
And she got down to the final three.
Wow. Wow. I never saw the show. That's interesting. That's great.
It was terrible. This week we're going to do soap opera scenes. This week we're going to do commercials.
Yeah,
and they made them do like a lesbian scene in a hot tub.
Oh God! And I got it's nice to see that Faye Dunaway was involved. What is that? All right, John. Thanks for the call, John.
Thanks.
All right, Oscar winner Faye Dunaway, everybody. Here is Doc. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good this morning.
Did you hit the million?
Well, I wish I could say I did, but it's stuck on all nines, and they don't know what to do. They're having to call the factory.
Oh no!
They've never had anybody hit a million.
Oh,
I went out after I talked to you. I got home. I had 300 miles to go, and I told these guys I'll be up there a half hour before you open. and anybody wants to pile in the car.
Oh.
And I drove an hour, 120 miles away from Kansas City, came back, drove another direction, 40 miles, drove all night till I got it up to all nines. We're in the car going down the road, and it's like, man, that thing ought to be turning over.
Oh, man. But,
that, so I've been another thousand, so for, waiting for an answer on that.
For those people who don't know, this is Doc from Kansas City. He's got a Honda that that he was on the verge of hitting a million miles on, literally a million. And it's a, what's the year, 2003?
2008. Honda Civic.
Okay, it's a Honda Civic 2008, and he's got a million miles on it, but now the nines didn't flip over. I can't believe that, Doc. That's so sad.
I saw a little tutorial online of an Accord. Somebody removes the instrument cluster, takes the circuit board, and then does something with the one circuit that controls a digital odometer.
Oh,
so,
man.
Hey, I wish I had 10 minutes to tell you my favorite scenes from Cops in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
But they've been there many times, but our ne'er-do-wells really represent. But,
yeah.
I got three of these reality shows, and I don't think any of them were on more than one season, or could they be. One was Joe Average or Average Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was the only one that wasn't in on it.
Yep.
You know, the competitions and the side stories.
Yep.
And the ones that were his buddies. And then there was Joe Millionaire, where all these gals thought this guy was a millionaire, and he's just a tall, handsome construction guy from New York.
Right.
But,
and he has no money. It's all a lie. He has no money. All the women were there to, you know, to find their golden goose. You know what I mean? And then he didn't have any money.
And then one of my favorites, and you might know the guy who acted in this, but I think it was like Bad Fiance, and they had this totally hot chick, and they said, if you will act like you're marrying this guy. And, you know, the longer they drug it out, I think she was going to get some money. And it was some comedian, and he was just a jerk. And her whole family or friends were beside themselves, like, you don't really love this guy. What are you seeing him?
Yeah.
And her dad was just beside himself. I don't know. Do you remember that one?
I do vaguely. And it was, the idea was to see how long she could pretend.
Drag it out.
And the longer that she did, the more money or the more prizes or something she would get. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that guy was just obnoxious.
Yeah.
And her dad was ready to just throttle the guy.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right. Okay, Doc, thanks, buddy.
All right, have a good morning.
Take care. I can't believe his odometer didn't turn to zeros, man. I don't know. I'm so disappointed in that. It was going to be such an exciting thing. That's terrible. Oh, man. All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. We've got a ton more reality shows to talk about here. If you want to jump in, which ones do you like? What are your guilty pleasures? Reality shows. Talk and text 312-981-7200. This was my first concert, and I don't know if the who requested this.
John from Decatur.
John from Decatur. I think John is a regular. He's a regular listener.
He is, and he said you would know it as soon as it came out.
It's my first. That was my first concert, Black Oak, Arkansas. That was my very first concert, 1975. Black Oak, Arkansas. Here's the great thing, though. Black Oak, Arkansas was the headliner. It was at the Auditorium Theater. Opening band, Bad Company, before their first album came out. Nobody knew who they were.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. So I've told the story before. Black Oak, Arkansas was my very first concert. I can't believe somebody requested John and Decatur. And it's been Hot and Nasty, too, of all the songs to play. I thought for sure we'd go with Jim Dandy to the Rescue. That might be coming up next.
Oh, just you wait.
Okay. Hot and Nasty. Oh, man. Yeah, I loved that band when I was a kid, man. Ugh. Man. All right. Hey, reality shows is what we're talking about here. And I want to mention what I think one of my favorite, maybe my favorite reality show of all time. And I've talked about it. We've talked about it many times on the show. It's a VH1 show. And it was Bands on the Run. Now, I've talked about it before, the best reality show of all time. It was only one season. There was only one season of Bands on the Run, and I still can't believe it because it was such a great show. And I thought for sure that they would at least do a second season. And I can't believe they didn't because it was such a great show. Did you ever watch Bands on the Run? It was in 2001, VH1.
I think I watched one episode of it.
There were four bands that toured around. They drove through vans. They went from city to city. They would get a little money. And then they would have to sell merchandise and sell merch and sell tickets to their gig. And whoever sold the most, merch and sold the most tickets would win that city. And then it would be whittled down to whoever was in last. And then there would be a battle of the bands. So, like, if the bands were in last place, in order to stay, if the two lowest bands, in order to stay on the road, they would have to play in a battle of the band, and then the audience would judge which band they liked more. So the bands were, and this is, I still remember the bands. It was the Josh Dotis Band. It was Harlow, which was an all-chick band. Soulcracker. And, of course, Flickerstick. And I was rooting for Flickerstick the whole time. And they ended up winning. They won Bands on the Run. And it was the finalists were them and Soulcracker. And Soulcracker was the band. You know, they were cute guys. And they, you know, their music was real generic. And they would go into town and they would sell all the merch. They would work really hard and sell merch and get tickets and have people there. And Harlow was the chick band, and you know they did fine, whatever. Josh Dotis was the first band booted. They were kind of like a weirdish kind of jam band, and so they got booted first. Harlow was booted second, and then the other two bands that were left were Soulcracker and Flickerstick. And here's the thing about Flickerstick: Flickerstick, bunch of drunks, didn't sell any merch, didn't sell any tickets, would show up. Because there were two brothers in the band and, like, some best friends. They would fight all the time, like, physically fight. They would get hammered. They would play their gigs. They wouldn't sell merch. They'd always be in last place in terms of, you know, but they won every single battle of the bands because they were a really terrific band. But the way they played the game, they didn't care. They just didn't care. They were like, hey, we're on TV. We're going to get drunk and fight, and we'll play some music. And they won every single battle of the bands, and they ended up winning. Flickerstick was the winner of Bands on the Run, the only season of Bands on the Run. And I ended up seeing Flickerstick three times in concert. I went to see them. I love the band. I love those guys. And it was such an entertaining show. Like, it was, I mean, the setup was so great. And they traveled around the country. They came to Chicago. There was an episode that was here. You know, you got to see what the bands were doing and all that, and you got to hear some new music. These were all, like, new bands. Nobody ever heard of them before. And also, David Cross has this record that I can't... He's got a stand-up album from about maybe 15 years ago or something like that, maybe even more than that. And I can't say the title of it because there's, like, an F-bomb in it, but it's a... one of the stories that he tells is that he's in town to do a gig, and he's got to do a morning zoo show the next morning, you know, because stand-up comedies end up doing these stupid morning zoo shows, as we all know. And it's usually like 5-6 in the morning they have to get up. So he's out that night, and he's in a bar, and he runs into Harlow, and that's the female band from Bands on the Run. And he goes through this whole night where he's like, oh, cool, it's Harlow. And he was like hanging out in their van, and they were getting drunk. And then he's like, halfway through the story, he's like, then I realized I hate Harlow. I can't stand Harlow. So he ends up getting completely annihilated with Harlow, like out till 4 o'clock in the morning. And he's got to do a morning zoo thing, like in 2 hours. And he's completely bombed when he gets home. Back to the hotel. He gets back to the hotel and he details the story of how his phone is ringing. The phone next to the bed is ringing. I guess he drunkenly gave him a wake up call because he had to do the morning zoo thing. And the phone's ringing, and all of a sudden someone, you can hear, he's doing an imitation of this woman who is, like, clearly either in the room next door or standing outside the door going, answer your phone! Answer your phone! And I'm not doing it justice. Obviously, David Cross is much funnier than I am. And then he tells this story about the answer to the phone. He's hanging out with Harlow the night before. He goes on this morning zoo thing, and he's completely, he's still drunk, and he's like even hungover. He feels terrible, and it was like he describes it as like the worst morning zoo you can possibly imagine. Take all of the horrible morning zoo crap that you hear, and he's like, multiply it by a million, and that's how bad this was. And he was like, he had a headache. He felt like he was going to throw up. He did like three segments with these guys in the morning. But anyway, I love the fact that one of the details about that story, which is so brilliantly funny, one of the great details is that he hung out with Harlow from Bands on the Run. So, but Bands on the Run, that's my favorite reality show of all time. It was the best. It was absolutely the best, and I'm really, really surprised that it never had a second, season. Flickr/Stick, they're not together anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, no more Flickr/Stick. You know, when Esmeralda Leon was on the show, she and I would talk about this show a lot. She watched it too. She just thinks it's so ridiculous that I like Flickr/Stick to this day. She's like, what's wrong with you? But she watched the show, you know, on a regular basis too. From 2001, it was on 2001, Bands on the Run, the best reality show of all time.
Yeah,
okay.
It was one of those. I saw one episode and I liked it, but there was something else I was watching at the time and it conflicted.
Yeah.
And I had to pick and choose.
Oh, my ex-girlfriend, I was living with a girl named Helena at that time, and Helena and I, religious, we would not miss it. It was like, shut up, no phone calls, nothing. It is time for Bands on the Run. We were obsessed with it. And we were always rooting for Flickr/Stick because they just didn't care. They'd show up and go, we're not going to sell any merch. Let's go get drunk. And then, but the thing is that they were a great band, so they won every battle of the bands that they had to do. It was ridiculous. And like Soulcracker, by a ton of money, beat them. You know what I mean? Like in terms of what they sold, and because they were like straight-laced guys. Oh, we're so excited. We're going to sell tickets and merch. And then Flickr/Stick is like, shut up, man. We're going to the bar. It's a rock and roll attitude, man. So, all right, everybody hang on. We're talking about reality shows. What are your favorites? What are the ones that you're obsessed with? What are your guilty pleasures? 312-981-7200. The news is up after this.
One day I met a girl named Sue. She was feeling a kind of blue. I'm never the kind of guy. Can't stand to see a little girl cry. Germany to the rescue. Don't tell me that girl's gonna go. Germany to the rescue.
Yeah, Jim Dandy to the rescue. If you're interested in knowing when this song is played during Dazed and Confused, it's when O'Banion and the guys with the paddles are chasing after Mitch and his friends to beat him. So that's when that's playing, in case you wanted to know. If you ever have a question about when any song from Dazed and Confused is played, I can tell you the scene. I've seen that movie a couple times. That's Jim Dandy to the Rescue by Black Oak Arkansas, my very first concert. Vic, have we ever talked about what your first concert was? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, I was embarrassed. I thought I was gonna get criticized for it, but you guys loved it.
Yeah, what was it again?
It was first concert that I paid to go to was Bobby Brown, and it also included the members of New Edition. After New Edition. It was
that's yeah. Fantastic. That's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I was expecting the opposite reaction.
No, are you kidding?
You gave me a lot of support. I'm proud of it now.
You should be. And you should be proud of your middle name. I don't want to get into that again.
Okay, good.
Oh, by the way, I do want to mention that one of the executive producers of a morning show.
We're going to get into it, aren't we?
I wanted to say that I told you this off the air, that I got an email from someone who was kind enough to be listening to us last Friday morning when we were discussing how much you hate your middle name, Eugene. And he works in radio as well. And he said, tell Vic that Mark Sapelsa and Ron Majors also have the middle names of Eugene, so he's in good company, which is awesome.
Darn right, I am with those two. That did make me feel better.
Yeah,
so thank you to that gentleman.
Hey Ben, what was your first concert?
My first concert was U2 at Soldier Field.
Wow.
Yeah, Euro Pop Tour.
Oh, that was a good tour too.
Yeah,
that was a good tour. Yeah. Wow. Cool. All right. We're talking about reality shows, not concerts, but we can probably do that at some point in the future. Oh, by the way, speaking of music, we have a topic that we're going to do tomorrow. I found an article about the 20 most annoying songs of all time. So we are going to talk about annoying songs. That's one of the things we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show, on Wednesday's show. But again, it's 2 for Tuesday. You're here, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. And let's see, we got a bunch of people who are calling in, bunch of texts. We are talking about reality shows on this, the 30th anniversary of Cops. What ones do you remember? What ones did you hate? What ones did you love? What are guilty pleasures? Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Do you remember Viva the Bam?
I watched every single... He's my favorite jackass, Bam. Bam Margera is my favorite jackass.
I remember the funniest thing I ever saw in there was Bam brought home a bag of live crabs, large crabs, and he snuck into this guy's room while he was sleeping. He had long, curly hair. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
And he put a crab in his underwear, and he flew around the room jumping and screaming and trying to get this crab out of his underwear. It was so funny.
You know, Paul, actually, I take that back. My favorite jackass was Dunn, Ryan Dunn, who passed away because he got in a car drunk, and such a waste. But Dunn was my favorite. He was my favorite jackass. But Bam, first of all, Jackass is one of the greatest things that's ever existed in the world. The movies, the TV show, I worship Jackass. I have every episode at home on DVD. I've seen the movies multiple times. But I'm telling you, in the first Jackass movie, which is still one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life, in the first Jackass movie, when Bam puts the fireworks in his parents' bedroom and sets them off, and then they cut to the outside, you just see the window with all the fireworks going off, and then his dad is leaving for work about a half an hour later, and he gets into the van, and they've loaded the van with fireworks. I'm telling you, I don't know if I've laughed harder at anything in my life. I'm telling you. And Viva La Bam was great. It was a blast.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Bye. Well, don't even get me started on Jackass. Don't. And again, I do want to say this. You know, as much as I love Jackass, the guy who started all of that was Tom Green. Tom Green started all of that stuff. The crazy stunts, the pranks on your parents, all that stuff. Tom Green broke ground on that, and I love Tom Green. He's one of my favorites. Here's Trucker Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right. What's up?
That Black Oak, Arkansas bump gave me a horrible flashback when I got stuck with my ex-girlfriend and all her family in Black Oak, Arkansas, the city, in the high school football field, having to sit through the concert, and I couldn't leave because they said I drove. But... You remember how I told you I was a gearhead in high school?
Yeah,
my
of course.
Counselor used to know when I was skipping that I was home working on the Chevy.
Right.
So I got hooked on like the overhauling programs.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That were on.
Yeah.
And now there's one called Garage Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically based out of Joliet. There's a guy that's got a custom shop down there, and people call in with their story like, you know, my dad's got a car that he's had since he was in high school or back from Vietnam, but can't afford to fix it because of this and that and other things. And,
yeah.
And they'll show up and just repair it. You know, it's not a custom deal. They'll repair it, and they'll show you how they do it and all that other stuff. And, it's kind of a informational type program that, you know, is reality.
Right.
You know, because it shows them, like, they were, that year we had the heat, all that giant heat wave.
Yeah.
It showed them trying to work on a car in a garage, and the engine stand was sinking into the blacktop, and their M&Ms were melting all over the workbench and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of a neat show.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll look for that one.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, thanks, buddy.
All right, and is there another Black Oak, Arkansas song coming out?
No, that was our second one. That was Two for Tuesday, so you're safe. You're fine.
Oh, okay, I'm fine. I must have had the radio off. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Rich.
Won't drive into a wall then.
All right, I'm glad about that.
Have a good one.
All right, Rich, take care.
All right.
You don't have another Black Oak, Arkansas song coming on, do you? I can't. A bunch of texts coming in here about reality shows. 724 area code says, I watched Dancing with the Stars when my buddy Heinz Ward was on, and occasionally we'll watch the finale. 724 area code says Cheaters was incredible at first. Cheaters, I'm trying to remember now, because the owners or the hosts of the show, there was Tony Grand, because they've got the sleaziest guys possible to host that show. Tony Grand was one of them. I'm blanking on the well. The current host is Clark Gable, and Clark Gable is the grandson of actually Clark Gable, and he hosts Cheaters. I don't know. I can't remember who the other one's. Tony Grand and Johnny, somebody.
Joey Greco.
That's it, Joey Greco. Joey Greco was the one who got stabbed.
Yep.
Joey Greco was the one who got stabbed of the three. 815 area code says, sad to admit, but I still watch The Challenge on MTV with all its childish antics of the participants. It's contrived, but I still enjoy it. That's the thing about these shows. A lot of them really suck, but I don't care. 708 area code, this is Steve in Indian Head Park. Nick, I have never missed a season of Survivor, the original reality show. Still beautifully shot after so long. It's evolved to be less about physically surviving and more drama between the contestants. How long will this show survive? It's been on forever. It's been on since 2000. I remember summer of 2000 was when it first debuted. 847 area code says, I like American Ninja Warrior. And also, I love the Maury show. Oh, God. You are not the father. The Maury show and Baggage, hosted by Jerry Springer. That's the game show that Jerry Springer hosts on the Game Show Network. I watch all the Gordon Ramsay reality shows. The food reality shows, those are probably the ones. For me, Top Chef is the best reality show on TV.
That's my favorite.
It's the best. And this season has been great. And it's been weird because I like everybody. Like when it was down to the final five, I liked all five chefs. And that never happens. Never happens. I think I'm rooting for Eric. I think I'm going for Eric. He's the only guy left. But because it's now down to four.
I'm so far behind on it.
I'm sorry, man, if I ruined it for you.
No.
But
I don't know who won, so we're good.
Well, it's not over yet.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
So I'm good.
So Top Chef's the best. It's the best. It's still, you know, every year it's consistently good. They come up with interesting, you know, challenges for them and they get really, I don't know who casts that show. Whoever casts that show is brilliant because they get these chefs that are really interesting. Great personalities, a good mix of personalities every single season on Top Chef. The judges are great. Colicchio is the man. Padma is hot. And they get people the great Graham Elliott was just on. He's been on.
Love it when Graham's on.
Graham Elliott's been on, and you get Emeril has been on, and you get, I mean, just some major league culinary giants on that show. It's the only problem with the show is that you can't taste the food. You know what I mean? Like you look at it and you go, oh my God, that looks good. And then you take the reactions of the people eating the food and the judges and stuff. And you just, you know, look at the creativity on what they put into the food. But I wish you could taste it. That's the only problem. But the food reality shows are a weakness for me. MasterChef Junior starts tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, and I love MasterChef Junior. These kids are unbelievable. I don't know where they find these kids. But by the way, last season's winner is from Chicago. The little girl from Chicago.
Yeah, that's right.
I like Hell's Kitchen. It's ridiculous, but I love it. It's totally ridiculous.
You and I are both on par when it comes to that viewing.
Those food reality shows, I'll watch them. I watched Worst Cooks in America. I watched the Food Truck Race, which I love, the Great Food Truck Race.
Yep.
With Tyler Florence, that's a fun show. All of those food reality shows, I'm a complete sucker for. There's no question about it.
Are you excited for Robert Irvine to be coming back
For Worst Cooks in America?
No, he's got his Restaurant Impossible stuff.
Oh, he's coming back.
As far as I know.
Well, because everybody, you know, that's a show that everybody completely ripped off.
Yeah,
like Gordon Ramsay's got 24 Hours to Hell and Back, which is basically him, you know, remodeling a restaurant in 24 hours and fixing their menu.
Which Ramsay did before that with Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, Ramsay did that. Yeah. Ramsay's been doing that for a long time. Even in, you know, because I don't know if you ever have watched the British versions of Gordon Ramsay shows that used to be on BBC, BBC America. Because, you know, before he basically, you know, runs Fox now. I mean, it's like Fox is the Gordon Ramsay network. He had his, you know, all those shows were already produced years ago in England, and then they brought them over here, and the British versions are much better.
Oh, I love the Hell's Kitchen that he does on that side.
British version is much better. He doesn't do as much. There's not as much screaming going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit more laid back. I mean, he pumps it up in America, you know, because he's known as the Scottish guy who screams at who screams at everybody and swears, and that's his thing. But back in the day when, you know, when they first started doing, he did a show called The F Word, which was one of my favorites, the F Word meaning food. And he did that, the British version of that. They did an American version. The American version was good, but it wasn't great. It only lasted one season. But he did, the British version of The F Word was fantastic. It was great. He would have like a brigade competing in the kitchen to see who would win, you know. And so they would have different challenges thrown to them, and they would have to serve the meals. And inside the restaurant, there were always celebrity guests that he could interview, and they would have little contests and stuff. It was a great show. A great show. Okay, we got a break here, and then we're going to wrap up the conversation about reality shows. Which ones do you love? Which ones do you hate? Which ones were you addicted to? We want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And then there's this new baby sloth that's going to get a name via the internet. And I'm going to talk about your pets' names. What were your pets' names? What are your pets' names, and how did you come up with them? And are there any weird ones out there? But we'll talk about that after the news at 3. But we're breaking here, right here on 720 WGN. One of my favorite Steely Dan songs, Royal Scam. Who requested that?
Scott from Streamwood.
All right, Scott.
Steely Dan.
You got good taste, man. You get to hear a twofer from Steely Dan. You hear Steely Dan? Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We just got some text from people. Apparently, Clark Gable III, the host of Cheaters, passed away just about a week and a half ago. I had no idea. He was only 30. They don't know how he passed away. It's undisclosed right now. But he was only 30 years old, and I'm sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry to hear that. He was only 30 years old. Didn't know that. Thank you for the information, though. I appreciate it. That story got by me. So that's sad. We are talking about reality shows, and if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to get in here. Let's see. 773 area code says, I can't stand The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Ridiculously good-looking people who can't find love. Come on. Yeah, I can't do that show either. My ex-wife used to watch both of them, and I can't do either of them. And evidently, the guy this season's a virgin on The Bachelor.
That's what I hear.
I mean, I watch Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy Kimmel does, you know, like, he's on ABC, so he does Bachelor updates and stuff, and he makes jokes about the guy being a virgin, like, every night. So, yeah, I don't know. 708 area code, Gene Simmons family reality show. Yeah, I didn't like that one, but then he mentions Ozzy Osbourne. The Osbournes is one of the greatest shows in the history of television. The Osbournes is, I'm telling you, there were times when I never laughed harder in my life watching The Osbournes. I just, that show was so funny. And Ozzy. And the dynamic between, you know, the family. I love Kelly. I think Kelly's like one of the cutest women that's ever lived. I love Kelly Osbourne. Jack was great on the show. Sharon, of course, goes without saying. But so many things, like him falling off chairs and stuff, and just like, nah, I mean, and just screaming, Sharon! You know, and but one of my favorites was they just did an opening of the, it was a cold open to the show. And it was just Ozzy, and he was sitting like in the TV room, trying to open a DVD, and it's taking him like the whole opening of the show was just is just Ozzy sitting there trying to open a DVD, and it takes him forever. He finally gets the DVD. It takes him extraordinarily long time to get this DVD open. So he gets the package open, he gets the DVD out, and now he can't get the DVD player working. He can't get the DVD open. He can't put it in. So then he just starts screaming, Jack! And starts yelling for Jack. And then finally Jack comes in, and it takes him 2 seconds, puts it in, presses the button, boom. But the key to why it was so funny, just watching Ozzy struggle with the adhesive strip on top of the DVD player and the plastic, trying to get the plastic open. Just watching him struggle like that is hilarious. And then finally not even be able to get the DVD player going. But the, and then Jack comes in and helps him. But the key to it is the DVD. He was trying to watch The Best of Chris Farley. That to me was just like the key to why it was so funny.
Did you see their last series when they do the road trip?
Yeah.
In the motorhome?
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I thought all of it was great. Wife swap is crazy. One, let's see. Other family tattoo artists and strippers. I used to watch those. I used to watch the tattoo shows, the tattoo competition shows. The one with Navarro, with Dave Navarro. I watched that. And then the other one with what's his face from the Blink 182, whoever that guy is. I watched both of them. I'm really upset that they're not bringing Face Off back. Face Off's one of my favorite shows, and that's about the makeup artists who are doing the special effects makeup. I love that show, and one of the reasons I love it is there's no drama on it. People aren't trying to backstab each other. In fact, they help each other out. You know, like the contestants help each other out. And it's not about who didn't do the dishes, you know, because sometimes in these reality shows, it's about people have to live together, and then that adds, like, drama. That's not what it's about. And it was just about creativity. It was about the imagination and creativity of these makeup artists. I can't believe that they canceled it. I love that show. Face Off was one of my favorite shows. Survivor and The Amazing Race are still some of the best reality TV shows. Consistently, people love. I'm not a fan. I don't watch either of them. I do watch Big Brother. People know that. If you listen to this show, you know that I watch it. All summer long, I watch Big Brother. Now I watch Celebrity Big Brother in the winter. 847 area code says, all of the Food Network shows are great, and the Great British Baking Show, which I love. That show is so popular now. Everybody watches that show. We can mention some other ones here. We've got, I just mentioned Big Brother, Road Rules. Did you ever watch Road Rules?
Every once in a while.
I never really did. I you know, Making the Band, that was on MTV, another one of those Let's Get a Band Together thing. I hated this show more than anything in the world, The Simple Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie. I hated it because it was the spoiled, rotten, rich girls making fun of people who work 12 hours a day. Like, they would go to a farmer's house and stay with them and try to milk a cow and then make fun of those people who are working their asses off to make money. And meanwhile, they got everything handed to them on a silver platter. I couldn't get behind that show. Just morally, I couldn't get behind it. It made me so angry. So I stopped watching. I watched a few episodes of it. I can't watch this anymore. America's Next Top Model, which is a classic, of course. The Hills, which is MTV. You got the Real Housewives series that are just incredibly popular with everybody. And Flavor of Love gets mentioned here. And then Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all their other spinoffs, too, which I don't watch. I've never watched 1 minute of a Kardashian show. So,
yeah, I'm with you there.
So, all right. Well, those are some reality shows. And, yeah, so thanks for participating. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to talk about pet names. How did you name your pet? If you have weird pet names, and we're going to talk about this baby sloth that's just been born. And that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN after the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. And that was Steely Dan. If you want to get your requests in, one artist, two songs, get them in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive right here on WGN. So we are going to talk about pet names, for your pet. What were some of your pet's names, and how did they get those names? And maybe there's some weird ones. And the reason why is there's this latest story here. Is there's a new baby sloth at Zoo Atlanta, and that it's going to be named by the internet. I can't think of a sloth without, I used to be without thinking of seven, but now I can't think of a sloth without thinking of Zootopia. Because that the sloth at the DMV, that's one of the funniest things. I mean, that scene at the DMV with the sloth working is one of the funniest scenes I've seen in years. But that's the first sloth that pops into my head, is the one that works at the DMV. So anyway, Zoo Atlanta is home to an adorable new resident. The infant Hoffman's two-toed sloth has been charming zoo employees since it was born 4 months ago, but it still hasn't been given a name. Now, WSB-TV in Atlanta reports that the Georgia Zoo has asked the public to pick one for the baby sloth. The tiny sloth was born to the female sloth Bonnie and the male Coco on November 4th, 2018. Its sex hasn't been revealed yet, so the zoo allowed voters to choose names for both sexes. And maybe because the internet doesn't have a stellar track record when it comes to naming things, the voting choices were narrowed down to a list of six possible names. The options are Blossom, Fern, and Willow, if it's female. Bean, Clyde, and Rio, if it's male. So Blossom, Fern, and Willow for the female ones, and Bean, Clyde, Bean, B-E-A-N, Bean, Clyde, and Rio, if it's male. Voting closed at 11:45 p.m. just this past Sunday night, and both the winning name and the sloth's sex will be revealed at Zoo Atlanta's social media pages at 1 p.m. On today. March 19th. So a week from today. The zoo may want to keep it a surprise, but chances are the baby is a girl. The species has been imbalanced sex ratio for that females that favors females. Hoffman's two-toed sloths have an unusually long gestation period for mammals their size. After nearly a year-long pregnancy, two-toed sloth baby is born with fully developed claws for clinging to its mother, which it does for roughly the first year of its life. Sloth babies are also notable for their impossibly cute squeaking noises that they make. So we'll find out what the name of the sloth is and what the sex of the sloth is. So Blossom, Fern, and Willow for the female, and Bean and Clyde and Rio for male. I don't know. If it's female, I think I'd go with Blossom, because that's the name of a Powerpuff Girl. That's probably the reason I would go with Blossom.
I dig that one.
And then if it's a guy, Bean, Clyde, or Rio. I think I like Bean.
I do, too.
I think I'd go with Bean if it's male. So anyway, they're leaving it up to you, the internet, to name the sloth. But that gets me thinking about pets and the names of your pets and how you came up with them and weird names for pets. I'm sure over the years everybody has had their share of pets. And I want to hear the stories on how you named them. Or your current pets. And here's Tim on WGN. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi.
Morning, man.
Morning.
I have a cat that I adopted from my shelter about 4.5 years ago, and I named her after the Carolyn Monroe character in The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. My cat's Mariana.
That is so cool that you named her after Carolyn Monroe.
Different spelling, of course, for obvious reasons. Yes.
That's a great name.
I admired Carolyn Monroe for ever.
Yeah, me too.
And, it's just really, my cat is right here, right now, beside me, right on my bed. I'm battling a cold, so.
Yeah.
She and I live here alone in this big house, so.
All right. Well, that's cool. I like that. I like that. Tim, names after Carolyn Monroe. Carolyn Monroe, by the way. Tim, thanks for the call. Carolyn Monroe, by the way, was... I remember when I was a kid and I would see Carolyn Monroe, I would go, oh, what's going on with me right now? I don't know if anybody's... If you've ever seen... Have you ever seen Carolyn Monroe? And it's M-U-N-R-O.
I have not.
Carolyn Monroe. Why don't you just do a Google search on Carolyn Monroe? Caroline Munroe, M-U-N-R-O. And so Tim named his cat after the character that she played in The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. So, yeah, no, Caroline Munroe, British actress, starred in, she was a Bond girl at one point. She was in a bunch of Hammer horror movies. She was in some of the Sinbad movies that I grew up watching. And she is spectacularly beautiful.
Yep, totally got it now.
Yeah.
Yep. Spy Who Loved Me.
I was a kid. You know, when I first started to see Caroline Munroe, I was probably like 7 or 8. And I was like, oh, man, I like to look at her. She's unbelievable. She's cool as hell, too. I met her at a horror convention because she does the convention circuit.
Oh, cool.
And she's also very, very cool. But yeah, that was a woman who consistently, I mean, you know, she was in some of my favorite movies, too. Like, I love the Sinbad movies. I love those Sinbad movies with the Ray Harryhausen stop motion effects and the Hammer horror movies, that goes without saying. So yeah, Caroline Munroe, she's something. And I don't blame Tim for naming his cat after the character that she played in Golden Voyage of Sinbad. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about naming your pets. What are some of the pet names that you've had in the past? How did you come up with them? And are there weird pet names that you've had over the years? Here's Kathy on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Yes, good morning. We couldn't pass this one up. My boyfriend and I adopted a beagle, a brand new baby. He was about 5 or 6 weeks old. And he had the name Rumple, and that didn't appeal to me. So I took the dog to Jennings Terrace where my mom was in bed, and I put the puppy in bed with her. And I said, Mother, what would you name the dog if it was yours? She said, I'd name him Snoopy. So the dog's name is Snoopy. I asked her if she could remember that, and she said yes. And he's just a beautiful dog. He's like maybe almost 10 or 11 years old now.
Yeah.
And the great-grandchildren can walk up to him and pet him and feed him Chex Mix. And he's just the most pleasant individual you ever want.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm wondering how many people actually name their beagles Snoopy.
Probably everybody.
It's true.
It just goes with the dog.
Oh,
goes
sure.
With the
Absolutely.
Territory.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We love your show and listen to you every night.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye, dear.
Okay, take care. Yeah, I bet a lot of people name their beagle Snoopy. I had a beagle. My first wife and I. It was her dog, so therefore, when we got together, I inherited it when we moved in together and then eventually got married. His name was Sonny. And he was a great dog. The problem with beagles, though, and I'm sure that Kathy from could identify with this. You ever have a beagle, Ben?
I have not.
Vic, you ever have a beagle?
No.
No? Well, if anybody's going to get a beagle, be prepared for really long walks. Because beagles lead with their nose, and they have to sniff everything out. And I was bartending at Simon's at the time we had Sonny, and I would get home at like, you know, 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, and my first wife would be asleep, and she'd have to work in the, you know, during the day. And so I would take Sonny out at like 3:30 in the morning, and it would be, and I'm not exaggerating, it would be at least a 20, 25 minute walk. Because it would just be sniff, 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 circle, circle. So, and I'd be like, come on, Sonny, just go to the bathroom. But yeah, that's the beagles. Beagles are known. They lead with their noses, and they have to sniff everything out and sniff it good. And that's what Sonny did. At least that was my experience with my beagle. And I don't know how she named him Sonny. I never did. And it was S-U-N-Y-Y or S-U-N-N-Y. And he did have a pleasant disposition, so maybe that's what it mean. That's what it was.
What's a neat spin on it?
Yeah,
S-U-N-N-Y. I do have a hound dog, though. It's obviously not a beagle, but yeah, same thing. His nose has just got it's got to spend at least 20 minutes outside.
Oh, it's crazy. Even if it's 150 below, like, you know, I'd go out in the dead of winter with Sonny, and I'd like, we got to get back. Are you not? And the dog like, no, I got to sniff it. I'm just gonna, and then circle around, circle, 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 and then I'd be like, oh, good, he's finally gonna take a dump, and then no, like, oh, we're gonna walk a little more. Oh, good, I'm good, I'm happy that we're going over this same spot we went over 53 times already. That's fantastic. What was your hound dog's name, Vic?
Dude.
How
it fits him perfectly.
Did it?
Oh yeah, he's really like the dude. You're one of your favorite actors. Yeah. He's just like that.
Yeah.
Actually, when Jeannie got him from a rescue, it was named Cash after Johnny Cash.
Oh wow,
which I love.
Yeah, that's cool.
But she gave her children the opportunity to rename the dog, and they picked Dude. And so being that I disapprove of Dude over Cash, I now jokingly say when we tell people it's Dude, they'll say, oh, we love that name, and I'll say it's a biblical name, and they'll look at me, and I'll say it's after Deuteronomy, the book. And she's just shaking her head all the time.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, that's good. That's cool how dogs get names and cats get names. That's what we're talking about. Your pets, how did they get their names, and what have been some of the names of your pets in the past or pets that you have now? And maybe some weird names for pets. 312-981-7200. I'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with you guys about pet names. 312-981-7200. I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. This is from one of my favorite albums of all time. This is a Desert Island disc for me. Nothing Like the Sun. One of my favorite albums of all time. I love this song. Sting, Englishman in New York. Who requested that?
Ike from Country Club Hills.
Ike from Country Club Hills.
Yeah.
Nice choice, Ike. Yeah, now that's that. Nothing Like the Sun is one of those albums that... God, when that thing came out, oh my God! That's all I listened to. People get in my car and they're going, "Oh God, are you still listening to this?" I love that record so much, Sting. Okay, so we were just talking about the story of the new baby sloth in Atlanta that is going to be named by the internet, and you find out a week from today what the sex of the sloth is and what the name is that have been chosen via internet. And that got me thinking about pets and how what were the names of some of your pets, or what are the names of your pets right now, and how they got the names, and maybe weird pet names. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nick. Good morning to you.
Morning.
My children had a pair of guinea pigs, which I had purchased at Brookfield Zoo. Actually saved them from certain death because they used to feed them to the snakes. Hate to tell you that. But they called them Fred and Ginger because they used to dance around a lot and squeak. Unfortunately, they were a boar and a sow, and you know what happened.
Mm.
We inundated everybody with guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And they come fully developed in little blue bags. We learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
The teachers at my school got them. Everybody got them. And they lived a long time. 8 years.
8 years, wow.
Yes.
That's cool. Fred
but they
Ginger.
Make a wonderful pet for children because you can cuddle them and they squeak and they interact with you and you don't have to take them out for a walk at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. That's true. All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, take care. I never had... guinea pigs or hamsters or any of those little furry dudes. I was never I'm mostly cats growing up, and mostly cats. That I'm because I'm a cat guy. I've had dogs in the past. We've had dogs in the past, and I've got nothing against dogs. I like them, I'm more of a cat person than a dog person. And I think it's because cats are just sort of like fully like independent, and they don't even care. You know, like, hey, come here. Yeah, right. I'm a cat. I'm not gonna listen to you. I'm a cat. I'm gonna do what I want. So just clean my litter box and feed me and shut up. That's what can. And I like that about cats. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about naming your pets and how did your pets get those names and ridiculous names and things like that. Here is Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hi. Nick, I'll tell you, I named my girl cat Janie after Janie Lane, the singer from Warrant, because I had a backstage pass with this girl, Anne, and we saw them at the Horizon, and there was me, him, and about 50 girls, and he was personable and he took the time to talk to people.
Yeah. Okay.
Very nice.
All right. Very cool. Very, very cool. All right, Steve. Thanks, man.
Okay. Now, right, bye.
After Janie. All right. Let's see. Got a bunch of texts coming in. 815 area code says, hi, Nick. We had a dog named Putz. we had a guinea pig named Crazy Horse. Oh, I like that. I like that. A guinea pig named Crazy Horse and a hamster named Agonoose. Oh, that's good. Those are good names. 301 area code says, boy, my wife named our cat Truly after Truly Scrumptious from the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. All right. Okay. 773 area code says, I named my cat Gray because he's gray. Oh, all right. Um, 847 area code. I guess this is the name of his of this person's pet, but I don't know what kind of pet it is, if it's a dog or a cat or a guinea pig or whatever. But it, the name is Blackula Sabbath von Blackenstein. I'm guessing the color of the animal is black. That would be a hunch. Blackula Sabbath von Blackenstein. 608 area code says the sloth at the DMV is one of the funniest cartoon scenes ever. Yes, it is. Yes, it truly is. 847 area code says, Nick, when I was younger, I'd named pets after the Cubs. I had Ryan, I had Andre, and of course I had a dog named Santo. You know, I think a lot of people, if they're Cub fans, I know a lot of people who name their dogs Wrigley. That's a real popular Cub fan name for your dog. And I knew somebody who had two dogs. One was named Clark. One was named Addison. Again, you know, clearly Cubs fans. 708 area code. We named our little white Shih Tzu Brasky after the Bill Brasky sketch on SNL. That's fantastic. That's my see. These are the kind of sort of name or pet name origins that I think are hilarious. Bill Brasky. I am wearing a diaper. Those sketches are unbelievably funny. I can't. That's so hilarious, and it's a little Shih Tzu too. Just Brasky. That's outstanding. 630 area code said we named our dog Miko after the Pocahontas movie that my daughter just loved. Yeah, I like that. Here's Darlene on WGN. Hi, Darlene.
Good morning. Good
morning.
My son had a cocker spaniel. He named him Kiefer when he was 8. And my son's 25 now. But anywho, Kiefer, we didn't want the dog. But my son harassed us. And finally, my husband gave in. We went back. And the young lady that waited on us saw us and remembered us. My son had a nuclear meltdown when we left that store without that dog that day when he first came. And then she says, oh, I guess this is a keeper. And I think that's what my son thought the dog's name was. And he always called him Kiefer.
Called him Kiefer. So it wasn't after Kiefer Sutherland. It was just okay.
Yeah, my son thought she said Kiefer. And
instead
he would always call him Kiefer.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But Kiefer died about 6 years ago, and I think he was 16 years old.
That's a pretty long stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Darlene.
You're welcome.
Bye. I like that the dog's name is Kiefer, but it's not because of Kiefer Sutherland. It's because someone misheard the word keeper. I think that's great. See, these are why these stories are so funny. How pets get their names. That's what we're talking about. What are your pet names? One of the unusual ones, the pets that you have now, the pets that you had when you were growing up, and how did they get those names? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got the news coming up right after this. The situation was not out of control. I'm love. So, Ike did a little cheating there. Because the first song is solo Sting, and this is The Police. So, he
yeah,
got...
a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But that's Sting anyway, so it doesn't matter because Sting rules. It's two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. We've been talking about naming your pets. Now, Ben, I'm assuming you've had pets growing up, and do you have a pet now?
Not right now.
Okay, neither do I.
Not right now. My roommate has one though.
Oh, what is it?
German Shepherd.
Oh,
big German Shepherd.
And what's the name?
Karma.
Karma?
Yep. And guess what gender Karma is?
Male?
Female.
Female. Karma.
Because Karma's a what?
Oh.
Yep.
I see.
Yep.
I see. That's why he named it because of that phrase, and it's a female dog.
Yep.
I see. I get it now.
Good dog, though. Really good dog.
Very cool. I do not have a pet now, but I've had pets over the years. First pet I ever had was a black cat we named Velvet. And Velvet lived to be 26? I mean, like a long, he had a long life. I mean, 25 or 26. It was crazy. Let's see. So that was Velvet. We had a schnauzer named Spooky because he was spooked by everything. He was a wimp. He was a total wimp. We had a couple of poodles named Brandy and Mitzi. I don't know why. I don't know where I didn't name those dogs. And they were just, I mean, these were like poodles, and they were, God. And they were nice dogs. They were fine, you know. But, man, anytime the doorbell rang, for like 20 minutes, like, shut up. That was Brandy and Mitzi. Let's see. I had a couple of cats named Jackass and Bangs. Bangs was named after one of my favorite writers of all time, the brilliant music critic and writer Lester Bangs, who's one of my favorite writers of all time and one of the most brilliant music writers of all time. And so the cat was named after him. He was Bangs. And Jackass, we couldn't think of a name for Jackass. So my girlfriend at the time and I, like, I wanted to name the, and my girlfriend at the time, too, was also a fan of Lester Bangs. So we said, yeah, Bangs, that's a cool name. So one cat was black and white and one cat was black. Jackass was black. And it didn't take us long. We got him as little kittens. It was one of those deals where they were stuck inside a wall, you know, like a cat went inside a wall and then had a litter in there, and they were trying to get the cats to come out, the kittens to come out, and it was a friend of my girlfriend at the time, and she's in, you know, and we didn't have a pet at the time or anything, and they were like, please take some of these kittens because we got to get rid of these, you know, get these kittens out of here, and so we took two of them. It was funny because the two that we picked from the litter, because we went over to the house after they had taken all of the kittens and the mother out of the wall, they put them in a big box, and people would come over to this girl's apartment and pick, you know, the cats that they want, and so it would just coincidentally we picked the two, that we picked the one cat that came out of the wall first of all the cats, and then the cat that came out last that they took the longest to come out. Bangs took the longest to come out. Jackass came right out. Jackass just like walked right out. So we get him home. We know we're going to name one of them Bangs, and the black cat starts. We see the behavior pattern of this particular animal, and he was an idiot. This cat was an idiot. There's no question about it. It was bumping into walls and like looking around, and so we were like, we got to name this. We're going to name him Idiot, but we just named him Jackass instead because it's a funnier name. I had those cats for many years. They were very, very cool cats. They were very, but they never came out when I had guests or like if anybody came over, never came out. They would hide in the bedroom. Nobody there, just me and my girlfriend, or when my girlfriend moved out, because we broke up while I had those cats. And she, when she moved out, they would come out only if I was home alone. They were really incredibly shy. My parents, when I would go, sometimes I would go out of town for a weekend or something. And I'd have my parents give them the keys, and they would come in they would feed the cats for me and stuff and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
My parents never met the cats. They never once met the cats. They never once met them. Like, they would come in, they would stay for a little while, they would try to get the cats to come out, they'd feed them, they'd clean the box, and then never see them. So they're, so never met them. My parents had never met those cats, and I had them, 12 years, something like that. Wow. Yeah. 10, 11 years, something like that.
I grew up with dogs later in life, but when I was a real small kid, I think up until about age 6, we had 2 cats. And one was pretty standard, would just come out whenever.
What were their names?
His name was Jamie. The other one is the funny of the two. And it was a, my mom found it, I forget if it was a shelter cat or if it was on the side of the road and she decided to save it. I don't remember how it worked, but she named it Jobina.
Why?
Well, the cat, that's the female version of Job, which translates the afflicted, and that cat had everything you could think of as far as having to go to the vet.
Oh, wow.
It just ironically worked that way.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. We got a whole bunch of texts here. People have interesting stories for naming their pets. Let's see. 608 area code said, I had a friend who raised beef cattle, and to name them after steaks. One was named T-Bone, and the other was named Ribeye for obvious reasons. Okay. All right. 847 area code says, we have a dachshund named Shorty. Well, that makes sense. Dachshund. Peter in Decatur says, I named my 2 cats who were litter mates Rose and Gilda. I said it was in honor of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. The only problem was my cats were female. Rose and Gilda. Well, there you go. Make a little reference to Hamlet. 815 area code says, I have 2 dogs named Scully and Mulder. man. 661 area code says, hey, Nick, my cat's name is Boogs, B-O-O-G-Z, Boogs. He has a little mark under his nose that looks like a booger. So he's Boogs. Also, used to have a cat named Mo because I like the Stooges. That's Mike in L.A. 815 area code said, we had a wiener dog named Bubbles. I named her that because I found her running down Western Avenue in the city, and I felt like she needed a stripper or hooker name. To quote Zach and Miri Make a Porno, her name, Bubbles. Our dog is, it's Canadian Bill, our dog is named Gunther, after Gunther from Dennis and the Menace. All right. Okay. Here's Jake on WGN. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
Hey, we had a bulldog that didn't have bottom teeth. So he looked like he ran into a wall, so we named him Pepto because we figured from the Mel Brooks movie, the guy had such a hard time, that's what we figured would happen with our dog.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you named him after, it wasn't named after Pepto-Bismol, it was named after the Mel Brooks.
Yeah, his character in the Life Stinks movie where he woke up with the garbage can, he was in the garbage can. And it said across his forehead, Pepto.
Right.
So we named him that.
That's a funny name. That's good. All right, Jake, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Damn. Life Stinks. That's a really underrated movie, by the way. Let me just mention that, because that's a Mel Brooks movie that not a lot of people talk about. It did okay at the box office, came out in 1991. I think there's some really funny stuff in that movie, some really funny stuff. That's one of those movies that doesn't get the Mel Brooks love that I think it deserves, because it's very funny. So he named him Pepto after the character in Life Stinks. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us, talk or text. Bunch of texts coming in, people naming their pets and how they got their names and weird names and unusual stuff like that. 312-981-7200. Never too early for Fog Hat. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Who requested some Fog Hat?
We can thank D-Day from the 630.
D-Day. All right, D-Day. Thank you. I loved you in Animal House. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about pet names. Your name, how did you name your pets? And how did they get their names? And if it's an unusual name or where they came from, 312-981-7200. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing this morning?
All right.
Sounds good. Good. In my family, we had three cats. And we had my brother was a big fan of the old Amos and Andy shows from the 40s and the 50s. So he named our first two cats Amos and Andy. Mm-hmm. They were girl cats. But how he came up with Amos and Andy, I don't know. The third cat that we had, we named after the late Harold Washington. We named him Harold. And Harold lived to be about 17 years old before he passed away of old age. And he gave us, we used to say that Harold gave us the best 17 years of his life. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a good, nice long life named after after Harold Washington. All right, very cool. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thanks.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here is Randy on WGN. Hi, Randy.
Hey, how are you?
All right, what's up?
I named my first dog Bailey, and that was before I knew Bailey was a popular dog name. I named her after Bailey from WKRP in Cincinnati, but primarily because her name was spelled, if you look at the names of the cats when they scroll, her name was spelled B-O-E-H-L-E.
B-O-E-H-L-E.
So I thought that was kind of...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, B-O-E-H-L-E.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of unique, so...
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go. Bailey from GARP. All right. All right, thanks. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
All right. We got some texts here. A bunch of texts have come in. 815 area code says, I have a friend who names all of her dogs after dog illnesses, like parasites, coma, ticks, worms, fleas, termites, etc. Termites? Then all of her horses have barn names that are liquor, like Crown, Margarita, Merlot, and Martini. 630 area code says, my toy poodle is named Sinatra after my favorite singer. 815 area code, dogs. Michelangelo was a black lab. Cairo, who is a rough collie. Ezra, who is a Staffordshire terrier. Lily, Chihuahua. Fritz, terrier. Looks like Toto from Wizard of Oz. Most of these are rescues. Cats, Miko, Keeker, Sheamus. Oh, Sheamus, named after the wrestler. Does he have a mohawk? Hermione, Neville, Molly, Albus, and Remus. I also see some, a couple of Harry Potter references. Man, that's a lot of, those are a lot of animals. That's a lot of animals, man. A47 area code says, named a goldfish Albert after Albert Finney because fish have fins. Ah, I see. He named him Albert Finney, see, because fish have fins. Also, you know what else, 847 area code? Albert Finney was in a movie called Big Fish. So there's dual explanations for why you named your fish Albert. 219 area code says, I have a friend who has three dogs named Tater, Chip, and Dip. Hey. Marco on the southeast side says, my first cat was called Secret. My second cat, Wolverine from X-Men. Secret. I like that. That's kind of a cool name. 847 area code says, never was a cat person, but my wife is. We have two, an orange tabby named Sunny and a gray cat named Geddy Lee after my favorite band, Rush. You got a gray cat named Geddy Lee. all right. Let's see. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's up?
Love your show. I used to go out partying with this guy, and he took me to meet a friend of his. And the guy opens up the back door, and he starts yelling, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here comes this giant German Shepherd.
He named his German Shepherd Kitty.
Kitty. So that he could just yell out the back door, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
That is funny. That's really, really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was the best one I ever heard.
That's a really good one, man. That's funny. All right, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Hey, look at that. It's Eddie Volkman. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Nick? Hey, that's funny about calling out the name. I got a story about that. When I was growing up, my mom from Oklahoma had a little black Labrador, and before it was insensitive or politically incorrect, she named it Sambo.
Oh.
You know, like the little kid's tail.
Yeah.
You know, and then... But then when I got married, my now ex-wife, she grew up with a little chihuahua that looked like a deer, so it was named Bambi. So when we got our first dog, which was a little chihuahua, a little brown chihuahua, we combined the names and got Bambo, which was, and then we got a female, we had to get him a companion.
Yeah.
So we got one, and it was his little wifey, but we named it Whiffy. To which one of my friends said, yeah, Whiffy, I don't know. You never name a dog something, you know, look like an idiot calling out the back door, you know, when you're trying to call your dog. But, here, Whiffy,
yeah.
Come here, Whiffy. So I should have named it Kitty.
Yeah.
And now I have, we have two pugs. I'm a big two pug fan. No, we had we had two pugs. One was Snuggles, and then the other one we named Pagoda, which is also kind of wrong because a pagoda is Japanese and pugs are Chinese.
Right.
But, you know, but anyway,
right.
That's the story of my dog. So.
All right, Eddie, thanks, buddy.
All right.
Bye. Take care. There you go. Eddie Volkman, everybody. It's always fun when Eddie calls in. Here's Carol on WGN. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Hi.
I have had two bunny rabbits, and back in 2007, I got my first one, a female, and I couldn't figure out a name, and I was listening to you, like I always do, and somebody called in, a woman, and said her name was Misty. So I said, oh, I like that name, and I ended up naming my first bunny after the name Misty.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years ago, I adopted a rescue bunny, a male bunny, and I named him Nikki, because, of course, you're Wiki Wiki Nikki, and I listen to you. So both of them kind of came from listening to your show.
Oh, I'm honored, Carol.
Yeah.
I'm completely honored. Thank you very much. You named your bunny after me.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Both bunnies. Yeah,
one of our listeners, too.
I listen to you every night.
Oh, Carol, that's sweet. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Very cool.
Bye.
I don't think I've ever had a pet named after me before. A bunny named Nikki. Wiki Wiki Nikki the bunny. That's pretty cool. Here's Jeanette on WGN. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. And the cats weren't named for you, but because my mother was a good namer of animals, they were named Ike and Mike because they looked alike and we never could tell them apart.
Ah, so they weren't they weren't named after the candy.
No, they weren't. I don't think we ate candy at that time. And the other one, her name was Cat because Audrey Hepburn was in a movie.
Right.
And she had named her cat Cat.
Right.
Because she said, I'll never belong to you and you'll never belong to me.
Yeah.
Well, that ended 13 years later when she died.
Breakfast at Tiffany's is...
Yes.
Is
oh, that's right. That's
yep.
right. Okay, thanks a million, and
okay.
I love your show.
Thank you, Jeanette.
I'm from Michigan, and I've always loved Chicago. Thank you.
All right. She's in Battle Creek, Michigan. You know what Battle Creek, Michigan... It's one of the best smelling places on the planet. You know why? It's one of the best smelling places on the planet because the Kellogg's plant is there, and you can smell it. You can smell it a mile away. You can smell like what smells like delicious warm cereal throughout the moist air. Battle Creek, Michigan, man. Smells beautiful up there. All right. Let's take a break for the news, and then we'll wrap up the pet talk here and talk about some weird flavored food. That's coming up as well. Yeah, man, Fog Hat. When was the last time Fog Hat was played on WGN?
I don't know, but we need more of it.
More Fog Hat?
It is hands down my favorite Fog Hat song.
This is?
Yeah, Driving Wheel.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, I could rock to that all day.
Okay. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And, excuse me, we've been talking about... names for your pet and how you named your pet. And I totally forgot to talk about the origin of the last pet that I had, which was a gigantic orange tabby cat that belonged to my second ex-wife. And he when I moved in with her, and then eventually when we got married, that cat became mine as well. And the cat passed away, I think it was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. When she got the cat, and I mean, this was a fat cat. This was one of those cats where you look at it and you go, oh my God, that's the biggest. It was seriously one of the biggest cats I've ever seen. I remember the first time when I went over to Heather's apartment and I saw the cat for the first time, I went, whoa. What are you feeding this animal? Huge orange cat. And when she got the cat, his name is Mr. Ruffles. That was his name, Mr. Ruffle. And so Mr. Ruffle, we would call him Ruffle, you know, and that was his name, Mr. Ruffle. But he had the head. His head was the size of a coconut. Like it literally was the size of a coconut. So I started calling him Coconut Head. And so we start calling him Coconut Head because of the size of his massive melon, his coconut head melon. And so I called him Coconut Head, and then that got shortened to Coconut, and then just Nut. So he had several names, this cat, had several names. He's one of the coolest cats ever. He hated me at first. When I first started dating Heather, he attacked me. He hated me. And then we got along because, I mean, you know, we had to. I moved in. You know, so we had, I moved in and I ended up marrying the woman. So, you know, I had to get along with her cat. And Heather loved the name Nut, and we just stuck with that. That's what we ended up calling him, like, for a few years. We called him Nut. And he was a great cat. And all he wanted to do was eat. I mean, clearly, because he was just a giant. He was a giant cat. And all he wanted to do was eat. If he could just, like, eat and that's it, he would be the happiest cat in the world. When Heather and I were living together, Heather worked days, obviously, and I worked nights. So I would sleep during the day, and that's when the Nut and I would bond because he loved to sleep, and he was the loudest purr ever. He had the loudest purr. You could hear the purr in the other room, and I'm not exaggerating. When that cat, when the Nut would purr, you would know it. There was, like, vibration. It was loud. He was a great cat. I love that cat. And I was very, very sad when, you know, because Heather and I are not no longer together. We're divorced, and she lives in Oregon now. And when the cat died a couple of years ago, I was the first person she contacted about it, and I was really devastated, actually. I was very, very sad to hear that. It was a great cat. He was a great cat. Mr. Ruffle, the Nut. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a bunch of texts here. And, let's see. Let's talk to Kathy. Here's Kathy in Chicago. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
So we had a dog. This was 1970, and Love Story with the actress Ellie McGraw was all the rage.
Anyway, my brother found a beagle tied up to the fence and he was in the alley. And so we took the dog in. My brother named it Ellie, A-L-L-E-Y, McDog.
Oh, I see. Because he was in, you found him in an alley? It was Ellie, and it was also a combination of that and Ellie McGraw.
Right.
That's pretty funny. I love those origin stories. Yeah, and anybody,
yeah, I thought it was clever.
Anybody who's around in 1970 and doesn't know what love means never having to say you're sorry is.
Right, exactly. And I think at the time my brother was in high school, so we thought he was pretty clever.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Kathy, take care.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. That love story, what a terrible movie that was. But it was, oh my God, was it big. Everybody saw that movie. It was massive. And it was terrible. Ryan O'Neill, Ally McGraw. Let's see. 816 area code says, remember comedian Stephen Wright said he named his dog Stay. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay. It's a lot funnier with Stephen's monotone. 314 area code, my dog is named Shemp. You know, it was Shemp's birthday yesterday. Shemp Howard was his birthday yesterday. And he's my favorite stooge. I know that that's not very popular, but he's my favorite stooge. I love Shemp. Let's see. 630 area code says, when I was in high school, my family decided to get a dog. While we were choosing the dog, the place had kittens they were trying to get rid of, so we were talked into getting a cat, too. When we got home, we decided the dog was so active and frisky, we would name him Frisky. Since the cat was a type of tabby, and we were fans of Winnie the Pooh, we decided to name her Tigger. When we brought them home, we thought that they were both males. We figured out that the cat was female. All right. Here is Trudy on WGN. Did we lose Trudy? Oh, I'm on the wrong line. That was my fault. Hi, Trudy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Okay, what's up?
I'm so honored to talk to you.
Come on now.
Well, love you. Love your show, man.
Thank you. So what do you got?
So my dog is a golden retriever, and we are big Harry Callahan fans from, you know, the movie, right?
Dirty Harry, yeah.
You got it. So he is Callahan.
So you named him Callahan because of Clint Eastwood?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
That's a good one. Okay, Trudy, take care. Yeah, you know, they could have named him after Tommy Boy, too, because they used the name Callahan. But the Callahan... It's Dirty Harry Callahan. Squat says, I have two cats, Dr. Fine and Dr. Howard. We got some Three Stooges fans out there this morning. 224 area code says, we had a black lab / German Shepherd mix named Harley, but he mostly answered to Dummy. So every Friday, you big dummy reminds me of him. let's see. Oh, I like this. 224 area code says a dog's named Moose and Squirrel. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's very, very good. 224 area code says it's a Shar Pei, which is that dog that has all the wrinkly skin, and they named him Raisin. That's pretty funny. Raisin. 847 area code says... we have two lovebirds named Mary and Juana. Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on a second. We got some potheads listening to the show. All right. Hold on a minute. Right. Three 312 area code says, hi, Nick. We had the greatest black lab, Luke. He lived to be 16. He, too, had to be out at least 25 minutes at a time. I named him after my high school crush, Luke Perry. Oh. I always wanted to get another pet, so... I could name it Perry or Dylan. Oh, all right. That's a little bit melancholy right there. All right, let's take a break here for some weather, and we'll come back and wrap up this topic here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to jump in for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And this will be our last Two for Tuesday selection of the morning. And it's the Pretenders. We have a lot of listeners with good taste in music this morning. Let me just say that. Because the Pretenders rule. Who requested the Pretenders?
Steve from the 309 error code. Right,
Steve, there you go. Yeah. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have a very exciting Blackhawks Express to play back in a little bit. The Hawks win big, and it's getting kind of crazy. And you know, these are must win games, so it's going to be pretty exciting to watch the Hawks for the next couple of weeks. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we are talking about pet names and how you named your pets. And 847 area code says that we had two female Siamese cats, one Fezzik and one Inigo. Oh, that's, of course, obviously after Princess Bride. We have two orange tabbies. The female is Buttercup and the male is Wesley. I got them at 3 weeks. Okay, clearly a fan of the Princess Bride. 219 area code, we have a beautiful yellow Labrador retriever named Atticus, after my hero in To Kill a Mockingbird. We have a white cat named Elliot, who is very cool. We have a very big cat named Vinny, because he looks like he was in the mob. Oh, that's funny. We have a cat who thinks he's a dog, who is the friendliest cat in the world to absolutely everyone. He's named Maxwell after the Geico pig. Oh, yeah. The pig that wheezed, goes wee, wee, wee all the way home. 815 area code says, my yellow lab is named Amos after famous Amos cookies. 262 area code says, an old English sheepdog named Satch from Joe Satriani's Satch Boogie. 773 area code says, we have a Rottweiler named Toad. Toad? 847 area code says, this is from Sam, who says, hi, Nick, we had a dog named RC after RC Cola. Well, did you get the dog free when you ordered a pizza? Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. All right. One is named Whiskey and one is named Scratch. Okay, 630 area code. We had a rescue dog named Sloan because he had been taught to dunk a tennis ball into a basketball net. We renamed him Bambi because he looked like a little deer. 630 area code says, I have hermit crabs with nut names. My daughter bought me my first hermit crab and named him Peanut, so I bought more hermit crabs and named them Cashew, Pistachio, Filbert, Macadamia, Almond, Walnut, etc. Nine 917 area code says, I have a cat named Tuna. Does that mean he's a, when he gets hungry, is he a cannibal then? Because cats tend to like tuna. 630 area code says, I have a cat named Cujo. A cat, by the way, named Cujo. He's a sweetheart, so it's funny, always gets a laugh, and our other cat is named Bob Marley. Wow. All right. A lot of marijuana references this morning, too. I think it's because of the fog hat. I think that's probably what it is. Mary and Juana. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Here is Judy on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, I have a fish.
Okay.
And his name is Mort.
Mort?
Now, I've had this fish for the last 25 years.
Okay. Well, I think Judy, I think you're going to have to turn your radio down because you're going to get...
I did. Okay. I just did. All I'm right. sorry.
That's okay.
But when I first got the fish, the kids wanted at a fair.
Okay.
So all the neighborhood kids would come in and they'd say, is that the same fish from the fair? I says, definitely. That's Mort. And we had more fun with the name Mort and the fishes being named Mort. My son walks in one day. He gives me a gold betta. Never saw a gold betta before. He says, Mom, I got you a new Mort. Well, I put him in the living room, and he watches TV with me, and he also eats like a horse.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go. The Mort.
You have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Bye-bye.
It's an interesting name for a fish. Mort? Hey. Well, whatever works, I guess. Mort. All right. Okay. Thanks for all of your stories about the names of your pets and all that stuff. We're going to move on here to a couple of food-related issues here, leading into what we're going to talk about tomorrow on the show, which is going to be some of the most insanely weird, awful flavored foods from around the world. But we have some other flavor things happening. Like, for instance, Lay's. You know how they've been doing their turn up the flavors thing where they're bringing out these brand new flavors and having people vote on them. Lay's is releasing three new chip flavors inspired by various music genres. The turn up the flavors include wavy electric lime and sea salt, flamin' hot dill pickle remix, kettle cooked classic beer cheese. Each flavor includes a code that will unlock a new song from Bebe Rexha. So the three limited time flavors are each inspired by a different genre of music, which would be pop, hip hop, and rock, part of the Turn Up the Flavor program. So wavy electric lime and sea salt. I guess that would be all right, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? Lately, a lot of pickle-flavored chips have been coming out, and they're really good.
The dill pickle flame, but this is flaming hot dill pickle. I'm not so much. Into the flaming hot stuff.
Yeah,
but the dill, I like dill-flavored stuff and pickle-flavored stuff. That's pretty cool. And then the kettle-cooked classic beer cheese.
I'm excited for that one most.
Yeah, I mean it's cheese. I know there's no beer in it because you know. Gonna be 21 to buy a bag of potato chips now. So those are the Lay's new flavors for Lay's, and that's the so there you go. They're available for a limited time. And then Mayo Chup, which we talked about, Heinz Mayo Chup, which is a combination of mayonnaise and ketchup, and it's become a big hit. Even though I think it should have been called Ketchup Maze. That makes more sense. Ketchup Maze. It sounds better than Mayo Chup. Have to say, now it's become a bigger hit. Mayo Chup is a much bigger hit than anybody had thought it would be. And look, the other day I brought back an order of fries to my office, and instead of my usual mayonnaise, I went straight to the Mayo Chup. It was delicious, like a sauce for my fries. Heinz, unsurprisingly, also psyched about the condiment hybrid, is now offering Mayo Must, which is... mustard, mayonnaise, mustard combination, and Mayo Q, which is a combination of mayonnaise and barbecue. It's a delicious mashup of mayo and mustard and a tasty combination of mayonnaise and barbecue sauce, respectively. In the press release, Heinz Director of Marketing, Nicole Kowicki, states, sauce lovers nationwide have been mixing different condiments to create flavor combinations that will make their favorite foods take them to the next level for years. First with Mayo Chup sauce, and now with Mayo Q and Mayo Must. We're taking out the guesswork to give our fans the perfect condiment blends from the start. Our rigorous testing showed that the guesswork isn't terribly involved. The ideal ketchup to mayo ratio is 1-to-1. The sauces will be sold in 16.5 bottles at the suggested retail price of $3.49 a bottle, and they will begin to appear in the retailer shelves online, including Amazon, this month. I would scoff, but you know what? I scoffed at Mayo Chup, too, and now I must be a believer. I would also try Mayo Q out on a burger. Mayo Must, though, the jury is still out. But Heinz going all in on the mayonnaise-based products seems to indicate that the mayonnaise haters may be in the minority. So there it is. Mayo Must and Mayo Q to join Mayo Chup as three of the most awkwardly named sauces of all time. All right. We're going to break here, and when we come back after the news, we're going to talk about eight discontinued Oreo flavors, because the Oreos go nuts, too. They have a lot of crazy flavors for the Oreos, and I know a lot of people love it. So we're going to break, talk more about that, and if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Would you try any of those chips that we talked about? Would you try Mayo Must or Mayo Q, or have you tried the Mayo Chup? 312-981-7200 for talk or text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG. And Chrissy Hynde, coolest chick in rock history as far as I'm concerned. I love Chrissy Hynde. It's Pretenders here closing out our Two for Tuesday.
Yeah!
We'll do it again next week. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Have you tried any of these new weird Oreo flavors? Because there are a lot of them out there. Ben, they've got a bunch of like weird varieties now, right?
Yeah, it's not just even recent. They're doing like seasonal ones too.
Right.
So far my favorite have been in the fall. They did a caramel apple one.
That sounds good. And I'm assuming they did a pumpkin spice one because everything is pumpkin spice come, you know, the middle of September.
Yeah.
Well, if you've tried any of these sort of weird flavored Oreos, 312-981-7200. Here's the thing. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to Oreos. Like, I just want the regular Oreo. You know? I don't want the double stuff because it's too much stuff. That's too much stuff. I don't want all that stuff. I want the regular amount of cream filling that you put between the two chocolate cookies. But there's been some weird flavors, but that caramel apple one sounds good. I would probably.
They were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was one I wouldn't mind if they did it year round. Mm-hmm. I'd keep eating them.
Well, we were talking on the show yesterday about the Shamrock Shake and how that's just limited and how they actually attempted a Shamrock Sundae.
Yeah.
Like in 1980, and that failed miserably or something to that effect. I just like and you know what else? The other thing is, have you seen the new, like, Oreo Thins?
Yeah.
Like, they're smaller and they're, like, thinner?
Yeah.
See, that sounds fine to me. That sounds kind of tasty. I would like that. The thing is that my favorite part of the Oreo, and I never eat the Oreo where you twist it open and scrape the filling with your teeth or whatever. I never do that. I know people who do that. I never do that. I eat the Oreo as a sandwich. It's a sandwiched cookie, which I will eat as a sandwich.
Agreed.
But my favorite part of the Oreo is the chocolate part. Like that's my favorite part is the chocolate cookie part. So just a little bit of that cream filling stuff is enough for me. And, you know, the regular Oreo amount is nice, and maybe even a little bit less. That's why I'd be interested in trying these Thins. And I know that that's not the popular thing. People love the double stuff. First introduced in 1912 by the National Biscuit Company, that later became Nabisco, the original chocolate and cream cookie, Oreo cookie, has sold in the billions. For the first century of the cookie's existence, only a handful of variations were introduced. Then also like Oreo O's cereal, but that changed in the new millennium when Oreo began issuing dozens of limited edition flavors annually, from watermelon to limeade to root beer float. Some of those sound disgusting. The assortment has culminated with recent news that a Game of Thrones edition is coming. What?
What flavor is that going to be?
Dragon?
Yeah.
Flame? What? Beheading? I don't. Sex? boobs? I'm just throwing out a Dinklage. Would it taste like Dinklage?
Oh,
those novelty flavors come and go from shelves and seem ready-made for social media. We've collected some of the earlier Oreo experiments that Nabisco considered to be major shakeups. See if you catch a glimpse of some of the Oreo snacks that you may have missed. The Oreo Big Stuff. One of the first radical reinventions of the Oreo was the Big Stuff. By the way, only one F in stuff. An enormous cookie. I'm looking at a picture of a woman eating one. It's the size of a donut. Like, it's an Oreo the size of a donut. Like a hockey puck.
What? Where do I find these?
They're gone. They've been discontinued. Oh. These have all been discontinued.
Man.
An enormous cookie that was released in the 80s, Big Stuff, was marketed to in boxes of 8 individually wrapped cookies, measuring in 3 inches in diameter and containing the caloric equivalent of 5.5 regular Oreos. These teeth-melting treats were promoted heavily but disappeared after a few years. Yeah, it's huge. All right, how about lemon meringue Oreo? I don't know about that. When Oreo began populating store shelves in 1912, it was joined by an alternative flavor, lemon meringue. The vanilla and lemon combination was discontinued by the 20s. Oh, so it was that long ago. That one just didn't that just didn't fly at all, man. Oreo Magic Dunkers. Oreo Magic Dunkers. I don't know what they are. And then there's Oreo Dunkers. So there's Oreo Magic Dunkers and Oreo Dunkers. Not to be confused with the Magic Dunkers, Oreo Dunkers were oval-shaped cookies, narrow enough to fit into smaller drinking glasses. While practical people attuned to the familiar circular shape of the classic Oreo may have found them unsettling, the cookies were introduced in 2006 for a very limited time. These days, you can buy a dunking kit with tongs to avoid getting your fingers in the milk. And the Oreo Dunkers, the thin oval-shaped Dunkers have 6 fun cookie designs. One of them being, it says milk this way with arrows pointing down in order to help you in your dunking technique. So that in case you forget how to dunk a cookie into milk. How about this? Dolce de leche caramel cream Oreo. A pretty fancy name for a processed cookie. These were available for a limited time in 2006. According to reviewers, the caramel taste came off as intense and very artificial. All right. Got some texts coming in here. 301 area code says, the birthday cake flavored Oreos were god-awful. They had a package of those in the newsroom. The birthday cake ones. In fact, they had a few different weird flavored Oreos in the newsroom. I'm trying to remember which ones. I tried the birthday cake one. It was terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
It was terrible.
The ones in the newsroom always disappear before I get to them.
Well, you know, yeah. the newsroom is just a haven for sweets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole table where the people do the news from, right there, it's always loaded with all kinds of crazy sweets. 815 area code says, the lemon Oreos are really great. 630 area code says, the carrot cake Oreos are the bomb. And then followed up, 708 area code says, I tried the carrot cake Oreos and they're disgusting. Uh, 847 area code says, no matter what type of Oreo you like, they always go great with milk. And that's another thing I don't do. I don't dunk. I'm boring when it comes to Oreo, when it comes to how I eat Oreos. I don't twist them and scrape the cream filling. I eat it like a regular Oreo, and I don't dunk it. I'm a very boring Oreo eater. And I like the regular Oreos, not the crazy stuff, especially like that. I don't like the double stuff. 312 area code says, I ate a half a pack of the Oreo Thins the other day, and they were perfect without them being too filling. It's my new favorite. Yes, yeah, I think I'd like the Oreo Thins. I think I would. So, all right. We've got more discontinued Oreo flavors that they had in the past to talk about. And if you tried any of these weird flavored Oreos or any of the weird flavored chips, we can get into that too for a little bit. But we're going to dive into it tomorrow morning show, because I went online and I looked at food items from around the world that are, you can't imagine some of the insane flavors that they've infused into food around the world. Some of the weirdest stuff, man. So, but we'll get into that. That'll be tomorrow. All right, we got a break here. We got the weather, and then after the weather, a very, very exciting and a pretty great Blackhawks Express to play back. Chicago!
The Chicago Blackhawks go for three straight wins tonight and have the added bonus of home ice as they try to derail the Arizona Coyotes, who, with a handful of former Hawks, look to extend their run with 9 wins in their last 10. But just as they were down in Dallas on Saturday night, the Hawks look to be streak busters again here tonight. Carl Dahlstrom spun it away to the near boards. Clayton Keller took it back for the Yotes. To Christian Dvorak, put it in front. The backhand shot, they score! And it was Richard Panik, the former Hawk, catching that pass. And on his first shot, it was stopped. Panik got it back. And he took a few steps to his left and fired a backhander in behind Crawford, and the Coyotes lead 1-0. Grabner into the Hawks zone, the right wing corner, bumped off the puck. The Hawks get it. Seabrook with a pass. Perlini on a breakaway over the Coyote line. Shoot, and scores! Brendan Perlini! His first goal against his old team and the first time he's faced them. And he ties the score at 1 with 13:22 left in period number 1. Boy, Perlini got free with a beautiful feed from Seabrook that originated from the Hawk blue line. Brandon Saad, Hawk line to Jonathan Toews through center ice over the Coyote line. Down the right wing, cuts to the net, put it in front, they score! And it's Brandon Saad on the receiving end. He was in the paint of the crease. And Kane's backhand pass was precise. Right onto the stick blade of Saad, who deflected it home, and the Hawks lead 2-1. And Strome takes it away at the line now. Sends it into the left wing corner to Dominic Cahoon. Turns one way, then the other on Chychrun. To Cahoon, now to Strome. Put it in front. They score! It's 2 for Perlini here tonight. Dylan Strome set him up from the right circle. Strome actually could have shot the puck. Instead, he found Perlini blazing down the slot. And Perlini knocked it home. It's 3-1 Hawks. It's on the left wing side of center ice. He dumps the puck into the right wing corner in the Coyote zone. Gruber there to get it. Pats it free, but the Yotes get it between the circles. And Goligoski center the line. Taken away by Dahlstrom. Feeds it in front. Here's Camp. Put it in front. They score! It's Chris Kunitz! Took a perfect feed from David Camp as he pulled everybody to the right of the net. And then slipped the backhand pass through to a wide open Kunitz, who was looking at a wide open net, and a veteran like that is not going to miss. It's 4-1 Hawks. Dahlstrom will move it over to Gustafson, who bats it off the right board into the Coyote zone. Now a turnover. Cahoon leaves it in the slot. Kane, now Kane with a shot, he scores! Kane with a give-and-go pass to Anisimov. Anisimov caught that pass in the left circle, flipped it back to Kane. A similar kind of goal to what Kunitz scored. Kane hit a wide-open net, and it's 5-1 Hawks. Sakura now in the near circle Hawk zone, passing up ice. Taves on a breakaway over the Coyote line, down the slot. He's hooked on the play. And will we get a penalty shot here? Let's see. A penalty shot for Jonathan Toews. And Toews picks it up at center ice, crossing the Coyote line on the right wing side, drifting into the slot. Toews shoots, he scores! Penalty shot goal for the captain, Jonathan Toews. Drifted right through the legs of Pickard. He makes it 6-1 in favor of the Hawks, and for Jonathan Toews, that's goal number 30 on the year. Perlini still out on the ice now, 12. Dahlstrom in the hot zone near corner, pokes it behind the net over to another former Coyote, Connor Murphy, who flips it ahead into the Coyote zone to Brickett, leaves it for Perlini, scores! A hat trick for Brendan Perlini with 3.6 seconds left in the hockey game. It's the Hawks 7 and the Coyotes 1. It took him 19 minutes and 56 seconds of the third. He got it done.
He got it, man. Got the hat trick. 3 seconds left in the game. It can't get more dramatic than that. You know what's really funny, though? Is that I didn't see that. I didn't see that because I was getting ready. I was taking a shower, getting ready for work. But they gave away fedoras last night, so all of them were on the ice. It had to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because they gave away hats last night.
Yeah, John and Troy were making the comment that why is it always hat night when somebody hits a hat
exactly,
trick?
Exactly. I would imagine because they were all like St. Patrick's Day fedora Hawk hats.
Uh-huh.
That was the giveaway at the game last night, and I just think that's hilarious. I'm sure everybody went, well, hell, I got this hat for free. I'll just throw it on the ice.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Exciting time, man. These are all must-win games, and it's just, you know, when you get to the end of the season and it's down to this, and it's down to you must win these games, it makes it pretty exciting. It's pretty, pretty exciting. So, there you go. So they play again tomorrow. They play Wednesday night. They're in Toronto. It's a 6 o'clock puck drop right here on 720 WGN. Okay, we've been talking about these weird limited edition flavored Oreos that have been discontinued, and over the years, kind of these strange flavors that they've tried out. And we got a call here from Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I had a bizarre Oreo marriage occur in my cookie jar. I had Girl Scout peppermint patties put in the cookie jar with Oreos, and after about 2 days, those Oreos had such a delightful, slightly minty flavor. It was a wowzer.
Oh, wait, go wait, because you put Thin Mints in the cookie jar with the
peppermint patties, Girl Scout peppermint patties.
Oh, peppermint patties. Okay, all right, because
peppermint from the old peppermint patties kind of married on over to the Oreos.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
we'll have to try that out. You get a little Oreo mix.
It was a serendipity, I'll tell you. It was definitely a delight on the tongue.
All right, cool. Thank you, Donna.
You enjoy, Mick.
All right, take care. There you go. If Thin Mints make everything better. How about the Double Delight Oreo? Not to be confused with the Double Stuff, which ups the ante with the narcotic cream filling. 2003's Double Delight offered two layers of filling, chocolate and peanut butter, sandwiched between two chocolate wafers. Two additional versions, mint and cream and coffee and cream, were released later that year. So they're kind of like split. You get two different flavors split down the middle. And they discontinued those, too. How about the Uh-Oh Oreo? Released in 2003, the Uh-Oh Oreo sounds like you're about to eat something that could get you upset. The name was referring to the kind of bizarro world Oreo with chocolate filling and a pair of vanilla wafers. They were relabeled Golden Uh-Oh Chocolate Oreos in 2004 and were accompanied by Golden Oreos, a vanilla cookie with a light filling and a buttery, softer wafer. So it's okay. Oreo, teamed up with DQ and did the DQ Blizzard Oreo. In a harbinger of flavors to come, one Oreo introduced a cookie in honor of Dairy Queen's Oreo Blizzard ice cream treat in 2010. The filling was meant to taste like the mashup of flavors in the chain's frozen offering. It didn't work out very well. The Oreo Blizzard, but everybody gets the Oreo Blizzard. That's one of the whenever you get the Blizzard, a lot of people opt for the Oreo Blizzard at the DQ.
Yeah, that's a solid choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Some of the discontinued Oreo flavors. And we were taking a little poll in the newsroom. I went into the newsroom for a second there during the Express, and we were talking about that. We all agreed that the birthday cake Oreo is the most disgusting, one of the most disgusting things we've ever tasted.
Wait. Did you ask Ennett?
I did not ask. I'm assuming Dave didn't have any. I don't think
he touched those.
No, he wouldn't eat that crap.
Yeah. Dave. Nope.
No. Sorry.
No, you didn't.
I wouldn't refer to it that way, but no, I wouldn't eat it.
That's not your thing, though.
That's not my thing.
No.
But I have no problem with those who enjoy.
Well, I enjoy a good sweet thing every once in a while, but that birthday cake flavored one was disgusting, Dave.
Yeah. No thanks.
All right. That's Dave Ennett. He doesn't eat that kind of stuff. Now, if it were a kale Oreo, that would
be... Oh, now you're talking.
All right. Thank you, Dave. All right. So we're out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. It's Wild Card Wednesday. We're going to talk about the most annoying songs ever recorded. We are going to talk about... We were just talking about weird flavored food. We are really going to get weird with the flavored food from around the world. We'll do that again tomorrow as well, and much more.